This is Great Muta. And you are listening to the Turnbox Robux with Phil Lea and that pain in the Astropion Light in M Radio.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Dark Satellite Media.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Woo! Yeah!
My time again, I would do it all the same. And I'll change a single thing, even when I was the blind. For the heartache and the pain that I caused throughout my years, how I learned to be a man through the laughter and the tears. Situation knowing, rush for a change of atmosphere. I can't go on, so I give in. Gotta get myself fully grown.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
In my pants, I am.
In my pants.
In my pants.
What's up, everybody?
Hello, jerk-offs.
We're live. Welcome to another edition of the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast. Live on Rant EM Radio.
Part of Dark Satellite Media.
Part of the Shining Wizards Network.
Uh-huh!
I'm Phil.
I'm Choppy.
I'm Jay.
And how's everybody doing?
We wrestle talk and talk about wrestling?
No, that's the wizard.
I'm sorry.
That's the wizard, you fuck.
Speaking of the wizards, look who's in the house right now. Kevin Garifo.
Is that Mr. Kevin Joseph Garifo? Comedian extraordinaire.
Yes, he is.
Resident Devil fan. Big night for the Devils tonight. Opening night. Hockey started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. My friend, one of my childhood friends went to the Devils game today.
Fucking dope. Birthday boys in the building. What's up, Donnie?
Donny Boy, the Gypsy Canuck? Nice.
The Gypsy Canuck.
Gypsy Canuck.
Oh, double A's in the room, you said, right?
Double A's in the house.
All right.
Let me show you how you suck it.
Hello, Shaylin.
Oh, yeah, you got to do the one fishing.
There it
is. Is Cousin Richie in the room?
Richie!
Anybody see Richie?
Fuck the revival.
Wow.
We haven't had the soundboard in 2 weeks. We got it back.
Thank God for that.
What's going on, everybody?
Can I just welcome back Phil Rea to the show?
Thank you.
Yes, please.
He said please.
Please. Yeah,
you guys fucking killed it, though, man. No joke.
Did we?
Yeah, you guys were great.
Yeah, we stumbled through.
You stumbled through?
We're okay.
We did all right.
Stumbled through?
Thank God Choppy's done this before.
No, Choppy's never done it by himself before, actually. Except,
and I'm surprised I did so well.
You did very well.
Yeah.
I did okay.
Nice, lemonade.
I spoke to him this week, by the way.
Who, nice lemon ice?
Yes, I did.
Yes, cuz.
I'm over here now.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to try to join the Teamster Union now because I'm going to talk to my boy Juan.
Ooh.
Fucking Teamsters, huh? That means you got to get me and we got to fucking start burying people like Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa was the shit.
I know.
Everybody knows he's at the 50-yard line at Giant Stadium.
Exactly.
Everybody knows that.
Dude, I've been saying that for fucking a decade. No one believes me. Finally, someone supports my theory.
Everybody knows that.
Someone supports my
theory. You sure he's not in the Passaic River? Come on.
Well, yeah,
you fucking Jersey too. Cats, man. You have a lot of land you could bury people in.
There's the Passaic River.
Yeah.
Tons of places.
I hope everybody's enjoying SmackDown Live on Fox. Right now, Shane McMahon is fighting Kevin Owens in a ladder match.
Can I just say, I love the new set.
Yeah.
Yes, Nick Jerman posted it earlier. I thought it was fantastic.
It looks better than Raw.
I agree.
It looks way
better. You don't like Raw's half pipe? It looks like somebody got skateboarders come down.
Not feeling it.
Looks it's like X Games.
That's what Jay said when we went to Raw tonight. He goes, look at the half pipe.
Dude, I think the new set is even worse than what they had before. I just don't like it.
SmackDown looks good, though.
Yeah, Shaylin, yeah. I agree. Choppy and Jay fucking killed it 2 weeks ago.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
So, Pastor Sadell is in the room. We love Pastor Sadell.
Jesus!
Jesus!
Jesus Christ is my N-word.
Oh, you like that one?
Yeah,
no one likes that one. I love that one.
So do I.
All right, I'll play it.
Jesus Christ is my nigga.
Cuz, bro, Anthony's in the room.
Anthony, what's up, brother?
Big George from the fucking Man Cave Radio. What's up, brother? My former broadcast partner.
Patna.
Hope everybody's doing good. Hope everybody had a good week.
Yeah.
See, Shane Lingry's too. That's 100 times better than Raw. I think it is.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Man, I tell you, they were plugging the shit out of on Fox.
Well, if I gave you $5 billion, you better walk around with a fucking billboard with my name on it.
I've seen it everywhere.
Yeah, but you want to know something? Their sportscasters are downplaying the whole aspect of SmackDown going to Fox.
Yeah, but not except the NFL has been plugging it for the last 4 weeks.
Now they are.
Yeah. Like, they'll be like, hey, that was a nice hit by Fletcher. Speaking of hits, SmackDown's coming to Fox next week. And I was like, what the fuck? And then again, I'm watching the Vikings. Oh, there's a catch by Thielen. Ooh, he gets hit by Davis. What a hit! You mean the hit like SmackDown is going to have on Thursday nights? And I'm like, hey, we're going to be fucking faces. How's everybody doing tonight?
They crowbarring it in there.
Yeah, dude. But I'm not mad at it though.
But keep in mind, the NFL did make fun of Rey Mysterio.
Oh, did they?
They did. And then was that guy's name Alderman or Oberman?
Keith Oberman.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
He's old too, dude.
Dude, and then fucking Braun Strowman, a giant of a man, was like, yo, who is this guy? Mind you, his father was like a world champion softball player.
Yeah.
And they're downplaying the fact that he's on TV. Come on, dude, that's not cool at all, man. Especially, I'm sure he got an earful from Fox for what he did.
He's probably not supposed to say that. It's probably like a knee jerk reaction. Like,
what up, Drace? Yeah, so I got a cold. I came out with a cold yesterday. Weird day yesterday. So I always tell everybody, yeah, I'm not going to Comic-Con this year. I'm not going to Comic-Con. Every year, like right day before, I get a fucking ticket. I'll tell you off the air how I got it, though. I don't want to talk about it on the air, but...
off the back of a truck, huh?
No. No, you're not gonna believe how I got it.
That's fine.
But I went to Comic-Con today. I saw Anime Mike with his fucking cosplay hooker. Right? I saw the Mandingos, right? I saw my boy Ronnie Paracella, who was my brother-in-law briefly about 20 years ago.
Interesting.
Really good seeing Ronnie. I love that dude.
Fucking Ronnie?
No, not fucking Ronnie, Ronnie Paracella. Okay. Ronnie from Brooklyn. Fucking Ronnie's from Jersey.
Oh, fucking Ronnie.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. You don't address him as Ronnie. It's fucking Ronnie.
Fucking Ronnie's here. Yeah.
Who else did I see today? I saw a couple of heads. I know Lou and Chops were there. Not this Chops. Derek Chops.
Yeah.
Lamb Chops. They were there, but I didn't bump into them. I got to tell you, though.
Did you see McFarlane there?
He was, like, not in arm's reach, man.
I was in arm's reach of McFarlane.
You are. I got a McFarlane print today. Yeah, I was telling Choppy in pre-production. So, you know, I'm part of DC Universe. That app is amazing if you guys are DC heads or comic book heads. What up, Mike?
Mikey!
Big Mike. Money Mike.
Money Mike's in the building. So I'm a big DC guy. The last... Choppy and I basically said we were going to buy the app before... Cause they were selling it before it came out.
Yeah.
They'd be giving us like 15 months, 16 months for like $80, and I bought it before it even came out. Like, it came out in that November, we bought it in July, right? So we walk in and DC's the first display. So they're like, if you can prove to us that you're a member of the app, we'll give you some swag. I'm like, all right. So they gave me a fucking poster. They gave me comic books. They gave me pins, like, from the Harley Quinn things coming out. So I did that. And, you know, and I just walked around aimlessly.
By the way, that new Birds of Prey movie looks awful.
I took, I'll show you pictures. I took pictures of all the costumes. They displayed them.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they're pretty cool looking. And in person, the costumes are cool looking.
I think that movie looks awful.
Took some pictures and toys for you, too.
Did you really?
Yeah. Do you remember the, well, I didn't take pictures of this. You remember you guys were almost taking me to a toy store in Jersey for my birthday?
Yes.
Well, they had a table there, right? And they sell toys from our childhood. So they had a bunch of LJN figs in the back, right?
Oh, shit, cool.
But they were destroyed. Wow. Like, this guy wanted to sell me a Billy Jack Haynes with no hair for fucking $40. I'm like, what are you, high, bro? This thing's all fucked up. Well, if you got a tag on it, it's rare. I'm like, I can get a Billy Jack Haynes right now for $9 on fucking eBay. And he has all his facial features. They want me to sell SD Jones for $30. I'm like, yo, fuck that. They had a drawer full of first generation Transformers. I was twitching. Not choppy. And I just got paid yesterday. Bro, I would have been so. Dude, they had an Optimus Prime out of the box in mint condition. Out of the box. For $90.
Who cares? Right? That's a steal.
They had a Megatron in the box. The original the box? In the box, $400.
What? That? No, fuck that. Nope.
$400.
Nope.
They had an original He-Man and Battle Cat in mint condition, out loose, $85. I'm telling
you. The only one that was a good deal was Optimus.
What up, Big Tone?
Hey, Big Tone, what's up, brother?
Big Tone checking in from the West Side. Speaking of West Side, guess who called me last night?
Who's this?
Maniac Matt Squires.
Really? How's he doing?
He's doing well. You know, we just once in a while, Matt will just randomly call me, and I hope he's listening because it's so good. We were talking for like an hour on the phone last night.
Wow.
And he built the house, and he's, you know, him and his wife are fucking doing their thing. His wife's slinging jewelry on Facebook. And, you know, I was telling him about Jay, and I'm telling him about, you know, what's been going on and everything else. And we're going to get a roll report soon once Matt gets his shit together. But we miss Matt. But yeah, I talked to Matt Squires, speaking of the West Side. So,
man, 90 for Optimus.
Chop. They had a laser beak, right? He had them all in like Ziploc bags, right? The loose ones for $25.
Did you see any Constructicons?
They had Devastator.
Stop! Yeah, how much?
Over $100. In outs. Yeah. Dude. They had all the Dinobots. They had Jetfire.
Grimlock?
Me, Grimlock. What? They had what's his nut? They had Perceptor. Remember the
Yeah.
They had
that Shockwave?
No, I want
Soundwave?
No.
Laser Beak Report. No.
I kept it all day today. I'm on the bus going Laser Beak
Report. Give me a favor. Give me some Skeletor.
Yes, He-Man! My scrotum needs licking! Evil Lynn licked my bung! So,
that is spot on.
They had a second generation Skeletor, too, from the series that you like. Oh, it was like $40.
That's not bad.
Nah.
I love Skeletor. You ever watch Masters of the Universe from 2002? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was really
I have the
good.
First. I have the first season on DVD.
That's really
It's still
good.
In the shrink wrap.
It's a really, really good series.
So then they had... They had an original Prime. I forgot how much that cost. They had Starscream.
Did they have a Hot Rod? The one that I gave you?
Yes, the original Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Yes.
How much was that?
I didn't look at the price, but they had him.
How much was Starscream?
Oh, he was. I don't remember. I look at
Starscream
that
is one of my favorites.
Thundercracker. They had. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. They had.
I'm jealous.
You know what they didn't have though? They had Laserbeak. They didn't have Frenzy, which was the dog, the cat.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
then there was Rumble, and who was the other one?
I like how you went like there was Rumble.
No. I'm telling you, man. Oh, I went to the IDW fucking stand.
Ooh, how was that,
dude? I almost bought a hardcover G.I. Joe Transformers fucking book for like $40. I don't need. See, this
go
is
to
the thing.
Amazon, dude.
Exactly. I was telling Jay on the ride home over here. I'm like, there's not. You don't need anything at Comic-Con. You just want shit. Like, I walked in, I was like, yo, I saw movie posters and fucking toys. And then they had a video game spot. I think I was going to grab you a game for your Saturn, but they only had virtual driving. You don't want to do no driving games.
Listen,
But I thought about, you know. This,
I appreciate
it. I got you a MAGA book from the fucking Zipperhead.
First off, it's not MAGA, it's manga.
Manga, Minkia. How about that? How about Minkia? How about Minkia balls?
Minka.
Minkia.
So, the Saturn, the Sega Saturn is probably one of the most underrated systems from the 90s.
I must concur.
If you were to buy a game, a really good game on the Saturn,
yeah,
the cheapest game for the Saturn is like $90.
They had some Japanese import Switch games.
Oh, yeah.
So this one kid's like, so let me ask you a question. Are they going to release this in the U.S.? And the guy's like, I don't know. All right, I'm going to buy this game. And the guy's like, well, just so you know, it's Japanese subtitles. There's no... Yeah, but I know how to play the game. I'm like, all right, dude.
He sounded like that?
Yeah, that's what he sounded like. I'm like,
or did he sound like this?
No, no, he didn't sound like he was... He just sounded like he was, like, nasally, you know?
Nasally, huh?
Like, he was like a white Urkel, you know? Fucking...
So, for all the fans out there, Kevin Owens just beat Shane McMahon in that ladder match to win his career.
Who's this fucking...
Surprisingly, son? Huh?
That's... What's her name?
Oh, that's...
That's Charlie Caruso number two.
Oh.
No, she's from NXT. She's a...
Kayla Braxton.
There you go, Kayla Braxton.
I was going to say Dasha...
Byron Saxon's sister.
Yeah? Oh. That would have been funny as hell.
So I was listening to a lot of Jericho today.
Listening to Jericho. He had Luchasaurus on.
I listened to Luchasaurus. I listened to Brandi Rhodes from like a couple weeks ago, one before.
Yeah, I heard that one.
That was pretty good. I love Jericho's podcast. He just...
I do too.
No holds barred.
I think he's a straight shooter. Like, he literally just kind of just says whatever's on his mind, he says it. There's really no fake stuff. At least that's how it comes across.
I like Jericho.
Double A, you don't like Kayla Braxton, Double A?
I call her... Yeah, that's Charlie Caruso number two.
Let me show you how you suck it.
Tip their hat to a lady. I'll tip my hat to that lady. It's okay.
Yeah, she's cute. Not as cute as Charlie Caruso, though.
I don't know. Charlie Caruso has some Botox injection lips and stuff. Oh, I don't know, man.
Well, I don't think so.
I want to rape her face.
Oof.
With my man fucking stuff.
Oof.
Yeah. I couldn't get it out. I'm so fucking exhausted.
Oof. Yeah, that's because we have sponsors. We can't get that stuff out of
there. No, we can get it out. It's few and far between, you know?
I don't want to fuck up our money.
I don't want to fuck up our money.
As a heterosexual male, how do you like...
How do you feel about today's sponge?
How do you feel about Kayla Braxton?
She can get it. That's a growl, he says.
Wow, what a...
Okay. Okay, he's like, argh. Oh, like that, okay, gotcha. A lot of cosplay titties today at Comic-Con.
I'm sure there was.
I saw so many tits, I was sweating. There was tits, dude, you would have loved it. There were tits everywhere.
Well, there you go.
Titties it was
good. Have you ever seen, let me just ask you guys something, have you ever seen a male, well, at least a straight male, angry at seeing titties?
No, but I saw a 300-pound dude dressed as fucking Battle of the Planets today.
What?
Yeah.
Gotcha Man?
Wow.
No, Battle of the Planets.
G-Force. Yeah. Gotcha Man.
Yeah. He had the belt, the fucking boots, and everything. I said, this dude has a lot. I was telling Aline.
But did you see real-life Peter Griffin there?
Oh, no. He was there, but I didn't see. He was
real-life Peter Griffin's awesome, dude.
Dude, Ruby Costumes were there, and apparently they had their own people dressing up. There was Ooh. Ruby Costumes. I'm sorry, I thought you guys knew that. It's a famous costume place based out of Queens.
I don't know they are.
But they rent to like movie sets and everything.
Okay.
They're on Jamaica Avenue.
Oh, I've heard of them. Now I know you're talking about.
They've been there for
100
years.
Okay. I know you're talking about. Yep.
Okay. That's where I got my Bizarro costume from.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So they had a dude, he was about 6'7", dressed as Thanos.
Oh, shit.
And he had all the pieces.
Jacked?
Oh, he was fucking. And no, he had it was like a costume almost. Yeah, oh, man, it was so dope. And then Michael Kingston had headlocked. I wanted to go say hello to Mike, but he had Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Sergeant Slaughter, and it was like a fucking line down the block.
Really?
And Joey Janela was there, too.
If you go there on a Thursday... I went there on a Thursday to see Mike, and he's a really...
Mike's a cool dude. We got to get Mike on the show, man.
So nice.
I met Mike in 2013.
I met him in 2014. He was so nice, man. Nice guy.
Shout out to Mike Kingston, Headlock Comics. His comics are good.
Guys, his comic books are really, really good. SCU sponsors them. They vouch for him. AJ Styles vouch for him. He's a really good... Really good idea, guy.
So, Robin Lane went to the AEW panel. I had to go because I want to be back in time for the show.
Correct.
And,
It was mobbed.
Yeah, AEW... I guess we'll get right into it because...
Why not?
It's been the fucking... besides me, the elephant in the room, you know? But You know, so I was working. I did early shifts all week.
Good, good.
I was ecstatic that
but
I was.
You looked really tired in that video.
I was tired.
I'm sure you were.
So when I got home that night, I went to the fucking deli. I got a fucking fresh mutz and roast beef hero.
There you go.
I got some snacks, and I fucking sat in bed, and I fucking forced myself to stay awake and to call into the rant that night. And I had NXT on the gimmick here on the laptop, and I have the big screen TV for AEW. So they open up with Sammy Guevara and
Cody
Rhodes, right? And it's going up against Adam Cole, Bay
and Riddle,
and Riddle. Now, you know, go ahead.
I liked what they did on AEW. And what I mean by what I liked, I felt like I was watching a pay-per-view.
You know what's funny?
What's up?
Rob said today, it was like watching a pay-per-view with commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I felt. And you know why? Because they had that small video package before the match. And I was like, man, I love this. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if WWE did this more often, if they had video packages before like an important match?
They used to.
And now they don't do it. And I love the fact that Cody, they replayed this package. I've seen the package before, but they replayed it all over again for everyone else, the live audience to watch.
Which is smart.
It's very, very smart. And then I just wish they had more of Sammy Guevara on that video.
You like him?
I like him as a heel. I think he's going to be a really good heel. Now, as the match was, like, you know what I liked about the match? It wasn't one of those high spot matches. It was like a very well told story.
Yeah.
And that's what we like. We like
of course.
Good stories. So,
of course.
And don't get me wrong, I love, you know, those NXT style matches with all the false finishes too, but I like a well told story, and that match told a good story. I liked it. I mean, it was the veteran of Cody Rhodes, mm-hmm. and then the young lion or the young rookie in Sammy trying to topple the veteran.
Yeah.
But you want to know, that match made him look like a star.
Yeah.
It made him look like he belonged.
Well, like you said, Cody had a win. There was, you know, there was no question he had a win. But it, like you said, it was Sammy's spot to kind of come in and shine, and he did. He was unbelievable. Some of the stuff that they did, and some of the stuff that Cody did, is even really good.
Uncle Jay's in the room.
Hello, sir.
What up, Uncle Jay? You ready to get your ass kicked by the Vikings this Sunday?
Oh, boy.
Vikings-Giants, baby. 1 o'clock.
They're going to get annihilated.
Fucking annihilated. Just right. The Giants are going to get... you guys are getting golden tape back. You want... Sound like a fucking Jamaica Beef Patty commercial. You want golden tape?
You want your tarot card reading?
Tell them no for your free reading.
Watch the sweat drip down your body crease.
You're about to crease. You're about to crease. I enjoyed the first match. I enjoyed the first match in NXT a bit better.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. And this is where I'm going. Now we're going to flip back to NXT. Can we do that? Can we flip back between...
Dude, this is your show too, man.
Let's flip back. Okay, so now we go back to NXT. Athletically, the match with Adam Cole and Riddle was much more athletic.
Yeah.
Lots of false finishes. Don't get me wrong. I love false finishes, but it got to a certain point that I was like, fuck, man. Like, Riddle had hit him with a knee. No, hit him with, like, a slam, a knee, and then, like, another knee to the face. And I was like, oh, man, that should have been it right there. And then, false finish.
Well, there was a ton of false finishes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It gets to a certain point that the false finishes just annoy the shit out of me sometimes.
Well, they go a little bit overboard. I mean, even, like, the week before with, I keep calling him Dijak. Djokovic.
Dijakovic.
And Keith Lee. Like, that was such a... You know, it was such a great match, but man, and like that, the Canadian Destroyer off the top rope, it's just like, dude.
That should have been
it. That's it. That's it. It's done. You know, so, you know, but like I said, with with NXT, the quote-unquote NXT style, it was, athletically, it was way
better.
But
you got to admit, though, the match was a little bit more athletic.
No, 100%.
Now, as a what?
I was pissed off at, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you go. I'm sorry.
No, we're not at the end of the match yet, right?
No.
Okay, go ahead. So.
So, like... What I loved is that, like I said, it was more athletic, the match, but it's still, I think both matches told very good stories. That you had Riddle clawing and scratching just to get to that title. And then you had, you know, the same situation where Sammy's trying to beat the veteran to try to get a title shot.
Yeah.
So, I think both matches told very good stories, One match was more athletic. The other one was more well-paced. But I thought both matches were great. I thought they were both very good matches.
Jay, anything?
Like you said, I mean, I watched the AEW live. I didn't do the two-screen McGillicuddy. I just watched AEW live.
Did you just call it a two-screen McGillicuddy?
Yeah.
I think I just found the name of the episode tonight.
And, but, like I said, watching AEW live, it was so new. It was so fresh. It wasn't the stale. I mean, granted, now WWE's changing their style, they're changing the appearance, giving it a fresh coat of paint, and all that stuff. But AEW was just, the lighting was perfect. The only thing I didn't like, and they did it in the first match, and it just soured my taste a little bit, and I waited for it, is they did reaction shots. Like, they did the quintessential WWE reaction shots, which I fucking hate.
Well, I have a love-hate relationship with those shots sometimes. Because you want to see what the fans' reactions are.
Right.
Yeah.
So that way the audience at home is like, holy shit, this must be a big deal then if they're reacting to it.
Right, yeah. Right.
But in the other aspect, you're like, fuck, man, you're wasting so much time with these reaction shots.
Yeah.
You want to see it all the time?
Yeah, because like if you got a camera panned into the crowd looking for a shot, what are we missing on the other side of the ring? What if there's something great happening on the other side of the ring? That's my outlook on it.
But, so, go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
But, like you said, you know, to me, the better match, obviously, was Riddle, you know, and Adam Cole, especially what happened at the end. It just, that didn't see that coming at all.
Now that's where you come in.
This is what pissed me off when I called. I told this on a rant the other day.
I heard what he said.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Finn Balor, probably one of the most iconic NXT guys.
Yeah,
right from running Japan.
Pretty much, would you consider him like one of the forefathers of?
Well, of the change from FCW to NXT, yeah. Him, Big E, Langston, a few guys, Seth Rollins, right? You know, they bring him in now with Ciampa coming back, but on top of that, he leaves two major angles behind.
Yeah,
he, him and the Fiend, and he was in line for a title shot.
Yeah,
so all of a sudden, you want to like. Rub dirt in AEW's face or whatever you want to do, and you want to bring all the fucking guys back. It's like, everybody's like, well, you know, NXT's not a fucking developmental anymore. It's a brand. Yeah, asshole, I know. And I heard this all fucking week on social media. It's not a fucking developmental. It's a brand. I know, Mark. But it's like, you know, it's like watching your favorite sitcom, right? You know? And when I was a kid, I didn't get the whole crossover thing. Like, good example. Facts of Life was a Different Strokes spinoff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, was it? Oh, yeah. Cause,
so
yeah.
When Kimberly went back to school and fucking Arnold followed her, I was like, this is awful. I want Arnold back in Harlem shooting hoops with fucking Willis and then going to fight the Gooch.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what I want. I want fucking Finn Balor with the club, or I want him with fighting Bray Wyatt. He doesn't need to be in NXT anymore.
No.
He doesn't. And that pissed me the fuck off.
Do you think they did it for the shock value? They did it for to beat the internet, like to beat AEW and like trending and what have you?
Welcome, Joe. Joe's new. Hey, Joe, how are you? But I'm sorry, Jay, what was your question?
He was like, did they bring Finn Balor down to, well, not down, whatever, the
bring
you know, third brand?
Yeah.
And did they bring him there because of they wanted to, you know, beat AEW in, you know, internet trending, all this stuff. Like they want to beat them to the punch, because, like you said, they started off with a championship match, you know, in front of Cody doing the match. So they that's right there and then is a fuck you.
Here's my problem. I have one, maybe not just one, a couple of issues, and I'll tell you right now. I think it was a mistake having three championship matches on NXT.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's just way too much.
You're shooting your bullets right off the bat.
But let me just
go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
But going back to the whole Finn Balor.
No, the whole Finn Balor thing. It doesn't make for me
storyline sense.
It makes sense. Listen, and then on top of that, you bring Ciampa back, which we knew was going to happen eventually.
Correct.
He was ready to come back. Mm-hmm. So now what? They're going to fucking three-way him now with Takeover probably in November.
I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Well, it doesn't. At this point, it doesn't matter. I'm just pissed off that he's there.
I think what this is. Listen, it might be a good thing. It might be a bad thing. But this is what this is how I see it. Guys, we apologize. The live video feed got shut off. It's back on. We apologize. If you want to come back on Facebook Live, we're there. So here's how I see it. Finn Balor, a phenomenal talent. Phenomenal.
One of the best ever.
I think one of the greatest signings that WWE has ever had.
Would you say underutilized?
Very underutilized. Probably the most underutilized talent, if not more than Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
At least Shinsuke has the Intercontinental title, has been U.S. champion, and so on and so forth. Now, am I as upset as Phil is about the whole transition from him from SmackDown or Raw to NXT? Absolutely not. I think it's a plus, and this is how I see it. I feel like when the draft starts, because we're going to have a draft.
Oh.
We're having a draft.
That's right.
And this is how I see it. We're having a draft, and I feel like we're going to see, hopefully, we'll see the club in NXT. And just bear with me. Not now, maybe. There's been rumors of a Undisputed Era versus the club Survivor Series match. And to have Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, and Anderson against the Undisputed Era would be a phenomenal match.
And this could be the start of that.
Could be. Just saying.
You know, but storyline wise.
But storyline, oh, yeah, there's no continuity.
There's storyline stupidity. Because I completely
they could have thrown him back in the fucking title folder.
Yes, they could have.
They could have put him on SmackDown against Brock.
Yeah.
When he beats Kofi in about half hour.
I think it was a missed opportunity. But here's the thing. It's a missed opportunity for Balor because he just came back. He could have been used on SmackDown today.
Yeah.
I'm not honestly. Listen, again, and yet, Shady, when Finn Balor is getting the same pay with a lot of schedule, that's not my point. My point is, it's like, if Shaylin, let me put it like this to you. Whatever your favorite book is, okay? Let's say I went into your fucking room and I took your favorite book and I ripped out all the fucking best pages. I ripped out the ending, the middle, the fucking, the opening fucking preface, right? It's stupid. You don't want a half a fucking Finn Balor. He should have cleaned up all of his fucking work up top and then came down and then, you know, like, he just came off a fresh title shot at Universal. They could have used that as a story. He needs redemption. He loses the fucking championship match to Seth Rollins. He loses it. He's got to come. Now he's coming to NXT. He wants to get some fucking gold. He wants recognition. He could be a fucking heel again. Then he can have the fucking club, the Bullet Club, the fake Bullet Club. You know what I'm saying? I could write this for days. That's not the issue. The issue was of it just made no sense.
There's no continuity
of him being in NXT. Okay, which is fine. We're gonna get great matches. I get it. You're gonna get great matches with whatever fucking brand he's on. That's the bottom line. However, I wanted him to finish his fucking feuds because for me, now, you know, with this ADHD mentality and the fucking way they write shit now, it's like, that's okay. Everybody's going to forget, you know?
And here's another thing, like, with him going to NXT, the fans were so happy to see him there.
Yeah, of course.
And of course, not that the fans are happy, the NXT fans are happy. He's definitely not leaving.
Well, like you said, the reaction that he got was just monster. It was monstrous.
He's a fucking god,
man.
He's
a star, bro.
He's a god.
He's such a superstar, and it's a shame. It's a crock of shit that he's still viewed as nothing more than a pretty boy that doesn't have that's vanilla to some people. He's not vanilla. He's a fantastic talent.
Well, they did the same thing to Nakamura. They did, you know, a couple of guys from Japan.
Don't be sure.
Anderson and Gallows should be. They should have ran the tag team scene for about a year.
They
could have been this generation's Outlaws.
Mm-hmm. But you want to know something? Those two guys, they're a fantastic tag team. They're very decorated, by the way. And when I see these guys wrestle, I just feel like, God damn it, you guys were like monster heels in New Japan, and now you're viewed as a joke. A joke.
Roman Reigns coming out now for SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
I'm just recapping. I told the fans we would do that for them.
Dude, tonight. I'm in love with this set, dude. I love the SmackDown set. It's fucking nice.
Let's get back to AEW.
Yeah.
Nick German, speaking of sets, was at AEW.
Yeah, he was.
I asked him what kind of gear he was wearing. He wouldn't tell me. I couldn't find him on TV. He better be wearing what we thought he was wearing, you know, because you know, meant to get some shit. But no, I told Nick today, I'm like, you should be fucking happy that that you were there, man, because they that fucking crowd was hot.
It was instantly.
They loved everything. They
instantly.
Loved. By the way, I was going to ask you guys, how do you feel about Pyro returning to the sets?
I'm indifferent.
I didn't care.
Yeah,
buddy. I didn't care.
I can give two. I mean, for certain like everybody shouldn't have Pyro. Maybe the championship match. Maybe opening Pyro, but it doesn't make or break it for me.
Now going back to AEW, visually as a TV show, it looked phenomenal.
It did.
The set. I think the set is way better than Raw's. Mm-hmm. Way better. The set. The Pyro. I mean, I know AA was not too happy with the Pyro. I liked it. It was great.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be tremendously huge to showcase. I mean, I understand what AA was saying on was it Wednesday, I think it was? I understand what he was saying, that, you know, it's your first episode on TNT in almost 20 years, and it's like, why didn't you have more of a Pyro thing going on? It doesn't matter. To me, it was nice.
The Pyro thing with me is, I think it was more of a thing back in when the war was going down.
Correct.
I think they were just, you know, like, well, my dick's bigger than yours. Mm-hmm. And every week they were like, you know, oh, here comes my dick, and they're going to fucking put more Pyro.
And that's how I felt with Wenton this past Wednesday. Everything, but it was like all the shockers were coming out on this.
Yeah.
On every show. You had Finn Balor coming back. You had Ciampa coming back. You had mm-hmm. the title matches. Then on AEW side, you had, well, I'm not a fan of the guy, but Jack Swagger came back.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of Jack. I'm not a fan of Moxley either.
Well, like you said, we got to.
I like John Moxley.
I like John Moxley. I
know that DDT that he did on Kenny Omega was insane, bro. I thought he killed the motherfucker.
Well, you did say he, like, you think his DDT is really good.
I like that DDT. It's fucking nice.
Yeah,
it's
you like that. And Jade's wearing an SCU.
SCU shirt.
Sure. They had a cool skit.
The brawl with
the Lucha Brothers.
Oh, my God. That's a. Come on, dude. That's
and
a,
I love how Scorp was like, I'll let the veterans do
it. Let the veterans take care of it.
Yeah.
That I like was Scorpio. Fucking
dope.
Scorpio Sky.
He's one of us, man. He's a cool dude.
Yeah. Shout out to Scorpio Sky.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
And SCU.
Yeah, SCU is fucking. That. This is the worst town I've ever. I had to buy that shirt.
And then, as a show. Hey, Andrew, what's up?
What's up, Otto?
I think the show was a total package. It had everything. It had.
I mean, there's things to work out.
I got some love. I don't like this Excalibur guy, and I told you this during the pit. Excalibur,
I hate him.
I like Excalibur.
I thought
he was good.
I love JR, but he's a bit like half asleep at the wheel. Did you?
He was definitely.
It felt like he was forced to be there.
I think JR has, and this is no knock on JR. I think JR is
past his prime.
Past his prime.
How come Jerry Lawler isn't? Because Jerry Lawler was fantastic on that.
I tell you,
I like that announcing team on Raw.
He steered the ship on Monday, Jerry Lawler. He steered the ship.
Here's another thing I didn't like about AEW. I didn't like the women's match.
Okay, the beginning of the match was very, very slow. It was very sloppy too. But it was towards the end of the match where they started grabbing the fans.
And the crowd got into it at the end, which, you know, it did pick up. And like I said, I was surprised. I was surprised Rio won. I thought they were going to give it to Nyla Rose.
It should have went to Nyla Rose. I think it should have went to Nyla.
I'm going to get some shit for this, and I guess I don't care.
I
don't care if you're a man and you want to identify as a woman. I know people who've done it. I have a favorite musician who's done it. She's doing it right now, and the band still sounds amazing. I know I have friends who've done it. If you want to identify as another gender, I get it. But if you want to do sports entertainment and you can't be a man being a woman beating up on a woman half your size, because you know they force feed you the transgender thing down your throat.
Yeah,
you know.
Do they though?
When she came in, they gave it a battle royal. They gave her a whole write up on Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, but you know what? They didn't. Well, on
when they signed her, they fucking hyped
media.
Her up. You
on
know what
news
I'm saying?
Media. But thankfully, on at least the TV and the shows, they haven't said it. You know, so it's not being browbeated into us per se.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I was very positive with both shows. I think both shows were done very well. The women's match, I can see why everyone's talking about. It was a little sloppy, but towards the end, they grabbed the attention of the fans. So it was fine. The only problem I have is the look of the title. I'm not a fan of the title, the way it looks.
The women's title?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
Okay.
That's my only gripe. Everything else was fine. But I do. But all my second gripe was just, I think Nyla Rose should have won. Just because Rio was just way too small.
Joe, we do read comments. We're just not going to comment every time you guys say something because we're not paying attention to the room all the time.
Sorry, Joey.
It's not a thing where it's not
a knock on you guys.
Don't take it personally. We're just fucking, you know, we'll scroll up sometimes. And
plus, I can't see that far.
Yeah,
right, exactly. What's up, Jason? So, but the chick she was fighting was half her size.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Rio. Yeah.
What did Miss Shea? She looked like a fucking Japanese schoolgirl going with Hello Kitty. Need a Hello Kitty bag.
And you know what they kept promoting? They kept promoting the fact that she's been wrestling since she was 9 years old.
Yeah.
Do I care?
Now, dude? Was this Kenny Omega's girlfriend? Was Kenny Omega's girlfriend?
No.
The other girl was. The girl she fought at the pay per view.
Yeah, that was his girl.
Okay, okay.
This girl was trained by Kenny Omega.
Oh, so that's why he came out and made the save.
Yeah, he trains the Joshi women that they're coming over because he's the translator for Brandy.
He's a dual citizen, dude.
Yes, he
of
is.
Japan.
That's sick.
He's the reason why I'm gonna love AEW because Kenny Omega is one of my favorite people in wrestling.
I have one more issue with the show.
No, go ahead, man.
I can't. There are some guys I can't tell who's the heel and who's the babyface sometimes.
Who's that?
For example, MJF, I know he's the heel. MJF is fantastic.
Yeah, but he's gonna be a star, I kid.
But he's a heel that
what
everybody
up,
loves.
What up, Mr. Mike Palmer?
Everybody loves MJF.
Oh, he's so good. At first, I can't, like, for example, the whole Kenny Omega and Dean Ambrose situation. At first, Dean is there are times I feel like Dean is the bad guy, and then I feel like there are times that Kenny is the bad guy. I can't get a grasp on who is the heel in that feud. To me, I feel like that's important to figure out.
I agree. I think that's going to be a big problem in AEW for in the beginning.
Another one, Cody. At first, I thought Cody was going to be a heel. Remember the match?
And then Jericho jumps him.
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't understand. Like,
apparently, Jericho jumped him again at the Comic-Con today.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
I missed that by half hour.
The only thing I like is that Jericho is a full-fledged heel.
Yeah, but he's I mean, I love watching it. He's a cool heel, but he's still a fucking heel.
I agree with Mr. Jason. I think Kenny's going to turn on the Elite.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Somebody has to.
I think Kenny is a very good heel, though.
Yeah.
So we enjoyed NXT. We enjoyed AEW. Is it safe to say that it's going to be, I guess, they're calling it a war, but I mean,
it's not a war.
I mean, the ratings were great because it's a new show. You know, but is it gonna withstand? Is it gonna draw more in? Is it gonna keep going at that pace, or you think NXT is gonna beat them out sometimes?
I think it's gonna for the next couple of weeks. I think AEW is gonna topple them,
right?
And then it's gonna get to a certain point that kind of NXT is gonna inch at their heels a little bit, and then NXT is gonna win eventually. But
yeah, I think it's gonna be AEW, you know, a little bit for now, but you know, these guys, they know what they're doing, it's. Like you said, I wouldn't be surprised with the draft. Like you said, like a Undisputed Era against the Club. Like, that would just be.
I can't wait for the War Games.
Yeah,
I can't. It's my favorite.
Don't be surprised if it's the War Games that these guys fight.
Ooh. I'm not mad
Undisputed
at that.
Undisputed Era versus the OC. Forget
I'm
it.
I'm not mad at it.
So it has to be X. So you know, head to head, what was the better show?
Visually,
AEW.
In presentation,
AEW.
Yeah, I agree.
When you see 15,000 fans cheering as opposed to 700 fans cheering, it's a different feel.
Understand this. Full Sail, I don't even think holds more than 500 people.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's in the
if
in
I'm,
or
guys, if
that.
I'm wrong, please call me out on it. But I think that Full Sail is like the old ECW arena.
Yeah.
It barely holds 500 people.
I thought the ECW arena held at least 1,000 people.
It did when they redid it the first time.
Oh.
Now when they saw it rip down all the walls and
shit.
But I tell you, they did a lot of work, though, at Full Sail because it's brightly lit now. Like, they really did go full ball with it going live.
I'm not mad at
it. Joey, in all honesty, you think Finn is going to get the title? I don't think so. Cole's going to hold on to that for a while.
Let's say he... I think Chomp. I think Cole's going to hold on to it
until WrestleMania.
Chomp has got to be the next guy.
He has to get it.
Chomp has got to be the next guy because then they're going to build him up. I was hurt. I was this. I was that. You still got to fold in Johnny Gargano because he didn't leave. Okay. So NXT has so much potential to write some good. Now that they're going to be alive every week on USA, now it's like, okay. We don't have 4 weeks of tapings anymore. Let's fucking write some stories for these cats, and let's call it what it is, And if you listen, if they want, and Triple H is doing the pre-show, right? I was watching the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "You're not going to want to turn your channel." Like they know, like this is important. This is a good time. This is a very great time to be a wrestling fan. And I said this today too on Facebook when I was talking to Nick and them. You know, wrestling fans, it's a niche audience now. It's not as mainstream as it was when you guys were 10 and I was 20, okay? It's not as mainstream as it was. There was no ratings war. There's no ratings war now, all right? No one's competing for wrestling. That's the fun part of it.
Yeah.
You're going to have it on major networks, but no one's competing. You're going to have wrestling on television starting next week almost every day of the week.
Which is, like you said, when I was younger, that's a dream.
That's a wet dream.
That's a dream right there.
That's a wet dream.
But like I said, I think it's going to go back to like 96, 97, 98, you know, WWF, WCW, where it's quarter hours. And it's going to be a little bit snippy at times. But like I said, I just wonder if AEW is playing up the whole Wednesday Night Wars thing, but they're going to just stay in their lane and be like, yo, you guys do whatever you're going to do. We're going to do what we have over here.
Yeah. I just hope that the fans are not – some of these fans are just not – they're so into what they need to see on – what they get off the dirt sheets and the fucking people posting articles and, like, links and like, listen, enjoy it, man. I was such a fan on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
I was 19 years old again. I forced myself to stay up.
Wednesday nights are going to be destination programming for me now.
Why not? Hands down. The middle of the week. You know, you're fucking, you're dragging. For me, anyway, for me, I don't work an early shift all the time. So I work till 8 o'clock at night. So I'm not going to be able to watch it every Wednesday night. But when I do, it's like, it's must-see television.
I tell you though, man, Raw is still a chore to watch. I can't watch 3 hours of wrestling on Mondays. However,
is next week, by the way.
It is. And also, AEW and NXT is such an easy watch.
Yeah.
You know what I did Wednesday? I just watched AEW the whole time. You want to know why? Because they would do commercials, but then they do the split screen.
Yeah.
You see, Joe, I'm Team NXT also. I'm gonna watch both.
I'm gonna watch both. The next night,
I have a 70-inch television and I have a computer. I can multitask.
Well, the next day I saw NXT. I saw AEW on Wednesday and then Thursday I saw.
Yeah, because you got the gimmicks,
dude. It did not change my perception. When I found out that Finn came back to NXT, I lost my shit.
I was gonna text you, but I didn't know if you saw it or not.
Oh, dude, you should have texted me.
I didn't text any. See, that's the thing too. Like normally we talked, you know, Jay and Choppy and I. We talked during the week.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk to anybody because I didn't think I didn't know who was home. I know Jay had different hours. I had different hours. Choppy's always working, and his hours always vary. So I didn't know if you guys were watching, and I didn't want to fucking blow it for you because I hate that. Because I'll be talking to Mr. X, and I'm in another group text with Tony C, AA, and Lee, and their Raw commentary is so. Is so every second I have to mute the conversation because I haven't seen Raw.
Yeah,
you know. So,
can I ask you guys a question? Like in terms of the announced teams, I think that NXT has the best announced team right now.
Listen,
better than Raw, better than SmackDown, better than AEW.
Nigel McGuinness is coming into it.
Yes, so absolutely,
so fucking good.
And anything Mauro Ranallo does, I'm all in on Mauro Ranallo because he really. He has so much passion. It's like it like bleeds through the speakers of the TV, and you get enthralled with it, like listening to it.
He makes you invested.
Yes, absolutely. And like I said, and then it's fun to like kind of go back and watch some of his quips that he has. Like you got to try to find them. So that even that too is kind of fun.
My favorite is when he Mia Yim was wrestling that four way a couple weeks ago. And then Mia did some crazy move, and he was like, "Mamma Mia, you!" That's great. I love Mauro Ranallo, and not for nothing, I like Beth Phoenix in that group.
I don't like Beth Phoenix.
I like her.
I know you do.
I like all three. I think that three.
I mean, she's not terrible. I just you know, that's yeah. It feels like she's just trying to. It feels like she's just trying too hard.
I think that three person announced team is really.
Oh no, it's really it works for them.
The best announced team in all of wrestling right now is that three.
Person. Oh no, 100%.
I think
hands
so
down, 100%.
Mauro Ranallo Mauro Ranallo is the hype man, and then Nigel is the knowledgeable veteran. And then you got Beth Phoenix, who puts in her later on puts the icing on the cake with whatever Nigel says, because she's also a former competitor, former women's champion, so she knows her stuff too.
Can we also say how refreshing is it to hear Tony Schiavone back on TV?
Yes.
He was good,
dude. He was so excited, man. Good.
He called MJ. He goes, "I hope somebody beats that little prick."
Yeah, man. By the way, can we just say this right now? Adam Page is going to be a fucking star.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my fucking God.
That was such a good match. What? I love that match,
too. I told now our boy Will Sweeney. Will is not a wrestling fan at all. And he'll tell people, Phil's been my best friend for 20 years. And the only thing we don't do together is watch wrestling. And it's like not a bad thing. It's just I was never into it. So he, like everybody else, was fans as kids. So he's texting me the night before. And AEW about, hey man, this is fucking Cody. That's Dusty's kid. I'm like, yeah, dude. Because I don't tell him about wrestling. We don't talk about wrestling. He's like, this is fucking fantastic. He came downstairs to watch AEW with me.
Yeah.
And it was like, he got, and I told the guys on Randy M, this is what I like. I want the casual fan to come back. That's something to look forward to during the week, man. Television is so saturated with reality shows and fucking game shows now, and just not good programming, man.
Not at all. Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have cable if I didn't need my live sports. You know,
guys, ladies and gentlemen, just want to let you know the main event right now is happening. It's Brock versus Kofi.
Yeah, Joe just put it up there too.
Kofi's retaining.
Real quick, what are we going with?
I'm taking Brock.
Taking Kofi.
I'm gonna go with Kofi as well.
We're gonna stay with this and talk still some more news before we go take a break and do a throwback, because I want to play the end of this.
And then, so going back to Adam Page is gonna be a fucking star, man. That guy's so fucking good. By the way, kept calling him Pac. I call him Pac.
I say Pac. I'm still saying Pac. But
he's beating everybody on the roster.
Pac is undefeated in AEW right now. Undefeated.
And that's another good thing that they do. They do the little records on the side. And it's funny, I didn't notice it until I was like, oh shit, they've been doing that the whole time. I'm like, and
that's good.
And it's funny because it's something like, I'm like, I didn't know I was missing it until I just seen it. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I kind of like that.
Chris, I'm glad you joined the room, man. We want to get your opinion on AEW and NXT, because you're a big NXT fan, and I want to know what's your opinion on that, because I know you're you love Wednesday nights. I'm sure you did.
Joe, we haven't played the trailer yet. Our resident gamer, our 12-year-old gamer, is not here tonight.
Fuck 2K.
No.
Fuck it. It's the war.
It's your nephew's favorite game,
that
man.
That 2K series.
It's your nephew's favorite game.
God awful series.
Anyway,
but I support my nephew.
Of course you do. He called me today. I felt bad. I was at Comic-Con. I couldn't talk to him. He wanted to come over.
Yo, Brock looks gassed to the gills.
I just got a text from Mr. X. Shout out to Mr. X, by the way. X was like, oh, he's taking a long shot. Brock's going to get confronted by Austin.
There's no
Austin
way.
Kept saying he's got one more match in him.
Ooh. Hey, listen, that'd be a money match.
Oh, wow. The match is over already? He won?
No. Yeah, maybe it's on delay?
I don't know, but this is a... let's see.
No, really?
Really? We have
Brock won?
I gotta see this. Hold on.
We were just doing. Actually, we're a little behind because Paul Heyman was announcing him. So
because it's only 9:52 right now.
Wow, I guess he did win. Everybody's talking about it in the chat room. Holy shit, we missed it. I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys.
Our feed is a little behind, so I apologize for that. Someone's coming out. I feel all right. Let's.
Somebody has to come out then. But isn't now? Doesn't
let's see.
Oh yeah, F5 for the win. Wow! Come on!
What a way to fucking kill Kofi's career, huh?
Jesus Christ!
Oh, it's Goldberg. Goldberg's in at ringside.
I don't want to see Goldberg though.
No one wants to see Goldberg.
What a shame.
What a way to shit on Kofi. Kofi had a magical year, and that's how, at least give him two F5s.
You want to know something? This is Fox putting their 2 cents in.
Yeah.
You need to get somebody that has some name
value. You think so, Chop?
Absolutely. Kofi Kingston is not the same star as Brock Lesnar, so they're putting that title on fucking Lesnar.
I mean, that F5 looked great, though, by the way.
By the way, Joey's right. WWE's trying to sign Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
Because they want these two Jamooks to fight for the title.
Yeah.
Wait for the delay. Oh, something's going to happen. WWE
champion. All right, so we'll keep it live then.
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Hey, oh. Come on, man.
Well, no. Well, does Cain Velasquez come out with Rey Mysterio?
That could be it.
We Dominic.
Doubt it. Rey Mysterio and... Oh, Cain Velasquez, they got him! Whoa!
They just called it!
Wow!
And that ghost's name is Cain Velasquez!
Wow!
That's the guy that beat Brock.
That's the guy that beat Brock in the UFC.
So did Frank Mir.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what? It just got a little bit more interesting for me.
Brock looks scared, dude.
Yo, it just got a little bit more interesting for me.
See Paul's face.
Yep. Wow, what a signing.
That's huge.
That's a huge signing, dude.
How much money do you think they'd throw at Cain Velasquez?
I'm pretty sure Dana White's like, motherfuckers. Oh my god.
Wow.
Whoa. This is insane. Guy, I'm shocked. No way! Took him right down! Beat his ass, Cain! Get him! Get that mook! He ran away like a bitch! Lesnar ran away like a bitch!
That's right.
Wow! I've never seen Lesnar scared.
There you go. Well, he looks like he just seen a ghost.
Wow! I've never seen Lesnar's character on TV scared. Run away like a little bitch.
I tell you though, Cain Velasquez underneath the... You know, the performance center, he could be real polished up now.
Wow.
Because he was good in that AAA showing.
I can't believe the E signed this guy.
All right, well, I'm convinced now. They know what they're doing.
That's okay. For them to take the title off of Kofi, that makes sense.
That would make sense.
Oh, here we go.
Is a true tough guy. He's going to stop.
This is crazy, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just stunned by this. Velasquez is a real deal, a proven
commodity, and nobody knows. He's going to charge the ring.
Oh my god. How many UFC talents does the E have now? You have Ronda, you have fucking Lesnar, you have fucking Cain Velasquez, you got fucking the other two
Shayna Baszler.
So many MMA talents right now. This is insane.
He looks like a fucking biker from Mayans MC.
Yes, he does. I was going to say that. He does look like that.
Come on, Brock. Charge the ring.
Cain Velasquez looks like the guy from Fast and Furious. Hey, the guy with the one button, the college shirt. Oh, man. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, you're right. He aesthetically, he does not look appealing to the camera. But he just showed up Lesnar like he made Lesnar look like a bitch.
That's a big signing. That is
what
a
up,
huge,
JT?
That's a huge signing by
big,
WWE.
Bro, I'm shocked. You want to know something? I think Raw got like 2 million viewers. I guarantee you SmackDown gets 4 million.
You think it's going to get that much?
4 million. I guarantee it.
It is network.
That's insane, dude.
Well, there you have it, guys. Cain Velasquez.
So now with taking the title off Kofi, this kind of makes sense.
Now it makes sense because you take the title off of Kofi and you put it on a part-timer. Makes no sense. But now the fact that Cain Velasquez is in the E and he's the guy that beat Lesnar for the UFC title. Oh, my God.
There's no way that they signed him to a big deal.
Oh. So I got to ask you guys because Shane Lynn just put in the chat room that this is a major signing.
It is. It's huge.
He only had – how many matches has he had publicly, though?
Two. I think this is two matches.
That's it?
That's it. He had one in Mexico and I think he just did – the AAA showing at the Hulu Theater or whatever
that is. Even if Kane is not part of the roster full time, I guarantee you they put him on like a 6-month deal, and this deal is probably going to go all the way to Mania.
Are we on board with this, everybody?
I'm all in.
Yeah. Let's see where it goes.
No pun intended, but I'm all in.
Okay,
yeah.
Absolutely. It's
like I said, because you have all these guys that can make him polished, and then he's already decent. Like he's. You know, he definitely needs a lot of work, but you got all the people there that can help him every day. Oh, yeah.
Look what happened to Ronda. Ronda was not... Nobody knew what the hell she was doing, and she turned out to be a proven commodity for the company.
Yeah. Ronda held her own.
Yeah, man.
Let's stick with Fox real quick before we do the Hell in a Cell preview.
Yeah, sure.
CM Punk.
I tell you.
Is this I don't know how true it is, but apparently Fox signed him to do the WWE post show.
Correct.
I know he confirmed
Is it confirmed?
He didn't confirm the signing. He confirmed that he tried out for it.
Okay.
So apparently it's from what I read online, it's not a WWE signing, it's a Fox signing. So Fox signed Punk. WWE did not sign Punk.
But like
right,
I said,
Fox did. Yeah,
so but WWE's on board with it. They're like, hey, listen, it's a Fox show, like, you know.
Yeah, it's like Pete Rose is banned from baseball, but Fox brings him on the World
Correct.
Series every
yeah,
year.
Exactly.
Same concept.
So,
exactly. Okay.
Another, I don't know, speaking of signings, we were just talking about signings. Scarlett Bordeaux, the Impact star, she got signed by WWE. She's going right to the Performance Center.
Did Jomo go back to WWE?
That's confirmed. He's been signed.
It's confirmed?
He's been signed. Yeah, speaking of Impact.
I'm sorry about that.
So Jomo, even Jomo confirmed it. He was like, kind of saying like, hey, yeah.
And his wife is still
with Impact.
She's the women's champion.
Yeah,
champion
over there.
You want to talk about a hot piece of ass?
Yeah, she's cute, man.
She's a good looking
girl. Yeah, she can
girl.
Definitely get it. What's up, JT?
But, man right there. What I was going to say, there was one more thing. So Punk with the Fox signing is almost...
Let's get into the
Hell in a Cell.
The Hell in a Cell card. Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. Bryan's a heel now. The face. He's fighting Eric Rowan and Luke Harper.
I think Ryan turns on Roman and then joins with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
So you think it's a whole ruse by him the whole time?
Hands down.
I'll go with that. Women's Championship, Raw Women's Championship, Hell in a Cell. Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks.
Becky Lynch wins.
Becky Lynch,
yeah.
Because Rock just put her over as like the person, the man.
This throws me off a little bit. Seth Rollins versus The Fiend.
The Fiend wins.
The Fiend wins a title?
Hands down.
Nah.
Wow.
I don't think yet.
Hands down.
Wow.
You want to know why?
Tell me why. I
that
know.
Motherfucker is the most over character in the whole company.
Yeah.
Or he... He's not this. He doesn't have the star appeal of Brock Lesnar, but he's more over than Brock Lesnar.
Oh, he's definitely more over than Brock Lesnar.
Dude, he's going to annihilate. And you know what else confirms my suspicions that he's going to win the title? It's because he's going to be part of Team Hogan at Crown Jewel. And that title needs to be defended at Crown Jewel as well.
Okay.
Huh. Seth Rollins is going to lose the belt this Sunday. Hands down.
And that's what they have so far. So I don't know if they're going to add some more to it. I don't know.
That's fine.
I have no idea.
I think WWE is a little bit different, you know, a little bit busy with, you know, starting live shows all of a sudden, you know, like Fox and NXT.
What's that?
Joey from in the room said that Edge has been cleared to wrestle now.
But he won't.
He probably not. Who knows?
Well, he signed the deal. He signed with WWE for something.
Yeah, he signed porn and fucking Legends contract.
But he probably used AEW.
But he already had the Legends contract for a while now.
He probably used AEW as a bargaining chip, which is smart.
Let me ask you something. I forgot. You know, I'll ask you guys one.
I would like to, Joey. I would like to believe that, but it's not happening, dude. I'm sorry.
I think he's got one more match in him.
No way.
All right, one more thing before we go to break. Choppy and I were at the New Japan show last week.
Oh my god,
Jay, you got to come with us the next time.
Yeah, so I definitely got to come.
Thank you to Choppy, Rob, and Elaine for the fucking amazing tickets. We sat fucking five rows from the ring, man.
That's what we're here for, buddy.
Dude, it was Taiga Hattori retirement tour. It was one of the best nights of my year. I've had a really bad year, and you guys just fucking... You guys hit me off. This was so nice.
We tried to do our best, man.
It was a packed house, Hammerstein Ballroom, and it was... They had a delay. Now, there was a couple of rumors that... you know, as an EMT, I know for a fact that when a venue has an event, they can't do the event unless there's medical standby.
Yeah.
So, apparently, the ambulance was late, and/or there was a satellite feed problem... Because you have to understand, they're 14 hours ahead.
Correct.
So if it was a 7 o'clock start time, it was 9 a.m. in the morning the next day in Japan. So we waited for a little while. And ironically, the card didn't end didn't end a little after 11 o'clock. That was it. So it wasn't really a bunch of a delay. They actually probably just shortened a couple of the matches. But let me tell you something. Fun. Like, just everything was fun.
New Japan's fun.
It's such a fun time right now to be a wrestling fan. New Japan puts on a great show. All that character's fun. I know Choppy hates the Rock and Roll Express. They brought the Rock and Roll.
I love them.
They brought them back. I loved it too.
I don't dislike them.
You hate them.
I just don't like the fact that they're putting titles on these jerk offs when they're past their prime.
They won the NWA titles a couple days later.
Not even past their prime. Way past their prime.
No, they're not way past their prime. Ricky Morton did a fucking Canadian Destroyer.
And he did a suicide. And he did a suicido.
Yeah. You want to know why he did a Canadian Destroyer? Because fucking Chase Owens made it happen.
Doesn't matter. Not way past his prime.
Fuck him.
Anyway.
By the way, Robert Gibson's eye is finally straight, by the way.
Whoa. He's getting that NWA. He's getting that Billy Corgan money now.
That's right.
So, we saw Okada. We saw Tanahashi. We saw the Bullet Club. We saw fucking Kenta. Dude, if we saw Suzuki and
Liger.
And Liger, would have been a perfect night. But Tiger Tori, they gave him a huge send off. Like Tanahashi was crying. I forgot how great Hattori's English was.
Yeah, it's actually really good,
dude. It was so good. And fucking dude, how about the Bullet Club, man? About Jay White?
Say it again.
Jay White.
He was good.
He was good. The Bullet Club is reborn. They didn't need all that star power. That they were like, oh, they're going to take a hit. Listen, as long as Gato's still booking, they brought Jado in to fucking manage them. Fale, you got all the fucking Tongans. You got the Tokyo Pimp. You got El Phantasmo. You got your boy fucking
Bone Soldier.
Sorry. And you got Jay White now as the IC champ. Oh. How about L.I.J. fighting in Rock and Roll Express and Tanahashi?
Can I just say Naito?
How about Bushi? And how about Evil and Sonata?
Bro.
How about Bushi?
You got Jay.
Yeah.
Evil and Sonata versus Okada and Ibushi.
Oh, man.
Dude, the ending, I was shocked at the ending of the match.
That was so much fun.
This is me and Phil were like this. Mouth dropped.
We did a Parker Lewis.
We're like, what? Because Evil's the one who got the win.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck? I was expecting Ibushi to
and
get
that,
the win.
And that's the beauty of New Japan. They book so well that every couple of nights, every couple of shows, they'll shine guys.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
They'll shine guys.
Well, you gotta test the waters somehow.
Listen,
right?
And even their fucking young boys are dope. This Ren Narita kid, I'm telling you, man, Ren Narita is going. That kid is solid, man.
Ren Narita, I saw him we saw him together and
This is not the first time we saw him.
He still, like you said, he's a young boy. But young I'm boy. Sure he'll be fine. I mean, a lot of that LA Dojo, they got a solid like
Carl Fredericks is in the LA Dojo.
Yep. Carl Fredericks is in
there. I think Goto's running the dojo.
Is he really?
That's what I heard. I don't know how true it is. And they got the right guy to run the fucking dojo. Goto is like,
he's legit, dude. He is this
generation's Haku.
Yeah.
You think he's the toughest guy out there?
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Goto's a beast, bro.
He's he is the epitome of strong style.
Oof.
Like, the epitome
compared
of
strong. Compared to, like, Suzuki?
This generation. Suzuki's old, dude.
Yeah.
Suzuki was the 90s.
Yeah.
Pancrase fucking strong style, you know? Good night, Joe. Thanks for hanging with us tonight.
Later, Joe. Thanks, man.
All right. But yeah, I'm telling you, Jay, you gotta come to a New Japan show.
Yeah, I love it, dude.
Next time they tour, you gotta come with
us. Yeah, we went to G1, we loved it. We went to the Fighting Spirit.
They're coming back.
They gotta be coming back. They love successful.
They love us in New York. They love New York City. They love coming over here because the fans love them.
I'm telling you, man. Anything else before we go to break?
Nah, I think that's,
anything? Nothing?
That's it, dude.
We had a lot of news tonight.
Dude, it was a lot of stuff to be talked about.
All right, I got to fucking drain the lizard.
Go.
I've drank way too much liquid today, and I got a cold. So let's take a quick break.
Sure.
Plug up house.
Yeah.
And do this really fresh throwback tonight.
Awesome.
All right, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on Rant EM Radio, and we'll be right fucking back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself
right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is Tama Tonga,
Tonga Loa,
and Hikuleo,
the Bullet Club, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Raya and the Pain in the Ass Choppy on the Rant EM Radio. And that's just too sweet!
We are back.
Yeah, I had to zipper up there.
Oh, look who's in the room.
Jimmy!
Ladies and gentlemen, the host of the Brooklyn Blast Furnace and the proprietor of Dark Satellite Media.
Boss man, what's up?
What's up, boss man? Mr. Jimmy Ferrari.
I'm over here now.
That's right. And when Jimmy's not there, he's...
I'm over here now.
It's so cool that we had this spot for so long and Jimmy uses it like in all his shows. He had it in his intro, and then he fucking says it when he signs off. He just had Schlack on.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Do you guys know about Schlack? He's like the new, I don't know, the new, but
new
like,
Necro Butcher?
He wrestled Necro Butcher.
Yeah.
Yep. He does a Game Changer, Big Japan, CZW. So go look up Dark Satellite Media on social media, and listen to all of our shows there. We have some great, really, really great shows. Shout out to Jimmy. We got to get Jimmy on. It's been like a thing where conflict. But we're going to get Jimmy on the show.
Jimmy's the boss. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
He can do whatever the fuck he wants. But he has an open policy here. He knows that. But we're going to do, I want to do some cross-promoting because they got some, Jimmy had a vision for Dark Satellite. And he put together some really fucking good shows. And just not one genre. We're all over the place. And I think, his idea ideally was to give the little guy a shot, and you know what? It's picking up some steam. So we want to thank, we always thank Jimmy for his support, but it's fun that we have another network to be a part of and some cool fucking shows, man. So, but listen to the Brooklyn Blast Furnace because Jimmy's great. He's a good dude. He's a Brooklyn dude. loves wrestling, loves music, loves his family.
And it seems like he loves people, too.
I don't know about that.
You know what they say, 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
Yeah.
That's true.
And he's still a...
I'm over here now.
It's true. It's true. So, anyway, that's... Yeah, man, I had a fucking pee so bad. It was like one of those fucking... You know when they took Austin Powers out of the fucking... When they unfreeze him? That was me holding myself up on the wall, dude. Dude, your leg shaking. A skunk die outside your house.
Why is that?
Dad, you smoked a big fucking blunt upstairs because I was like a contact high when I got to the fucking top of the steps. Like, holy shit. Some medicinal shit going on up in here. Anyway. I was like twitching like a lab rat. I'm like, ooh.
Were you like Goldust?
I was like Goldust. I was like Goldust. Blunts.
Yeah.
Skunkweed. Pop. Marijuana.
There goes our sponsors. That's
right,
funny.
Right gone.
That's right, man. That's right. All right. You guys ready for your throwback?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Ring the bell again. Just because I can. It's my show, son. All right. We're kicking it back to October 15th, 1999. October 15th, 2019 is when my rent's due, so
the month. Oh, there you go.
20 years. 20 years to the day. All right. So this is from the Gund Arena in downtown Cleveland, Ohio, home of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the King, LeBron James.
Well, King.
He is the king. That's what they call him.
Yeah, king of the jerk-offs.
Yeah. King of the jerk-offs. Okay. Whatever. So Vince Russo, behind the scenes at this point, negotiated a deal with WWF on a rebellion tour and bolted for the company. Mm-hmm. Okay. And things didn't get any less outrageous, but it did make a lot of sense. We're assuming Mae Young giving birth to a hand that doesn't exist, right? Remember all that nonsense? All right. Of course, as always, in 1999, your hosts are Jim Ross and Jerry King Lawler.
I tell you, I like so it's funny, we were talking about King, you know, on this past Monday night. Like, he definitely steered the ship, because he was talking a lot more.
JT said, king of these nuts. Jay, you were saying, I'm sorry.
And like what he did this past Monday night was like he was like, you know, taking the steering wheel. Back then he was just wasn't even paying attention to matches. He was, you know, the first match, he's just paying attention to the girls, like he'd see what's going on around there. Like
that was his character at that point.
Yeah.
Sleazy old man.
He was banging what's a face too, right? He was
Miss
20,
Kitty.
Yeah, he was 20 years his senior. As
yeah.
His
younger?
Younger, yeah.
Younger?
Yeah, I guess that's what you call it. I don't know.
Elder?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. He was fucking...
He was banging Miss Kitty.
Yeah. Who was definitely way too young for him.
Oh, yeah.
Way too young.
He's like 12. All right. Opening match.
Oof.
Oof. You see Choppy's face? Yes, Pastor. We know his home is not a Staples Center.
Oof.
Yeah. Pastor Sadell is the resident Laker fan.
Him and there you go.
Him and Tony C.
There you go.
Yeah. Whatever, dude. They share a building with the Clippers. How great can they be?
Ooh.
Anyway, I digress. Anyway. Doesn't matter. I'm a sorry Knicks fan. And a Kings fan. Sacramento Kings fan, so I shouldn't talk. Anyway. Chop, since you hate this match, why don't you...
What a chore. I don't...
Jay, did you see his face?
Yeah, he was just like... It's like he forgot this match. And then he said opening match.
It's like opening match. Oh.
Yeah.
Great, thanks, partner.
It was that bad.
What a way to ruin a wet dream.
It was bad.
Can I just say, the Godfather, had the best entrance in 1999.
Oh, hands down.
He was one of my favorite characters on that show.
I didn't know that he was a proprietor of a spot until he retired.
In Vegas, yeah.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
I did.
Well, I'm glad you knew.
Because I used to go on the internet almost every single day to know about everything about these guys.
With your Hotmail dial-up?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I forgot about that one.
When your mom picked up the phone, Mom, I'm on the fucking internet!
Oh, pick up the phone, Mom!
I had American Online. American Online.
Mom, pick up the phone, and your feed cuts off. You're trying to download some fucking titty picture.
It takes 7 minutes to get a picture.
7 minutes over a website.
Remember, when I was on Napster, it took me like an hour just to download one song.
Yep.
Now it's like 30 seconds, you'll have a song. It's insane.
Choppy's face says it all. Yeah, basically.
So, Godfather and Midian are on all fours. My Godfather has a mic. He's like, since you don't like women, you don't like farm animals, I'm just going to have to kick your ass,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Which, I thought that was pretty funny.
I thought it was pretty funny. Now, after that was great, but then afterwards, hoofa. What a disaster.
Yeah, what a clunker of a match.
Oh my God, so sloppy.
So we had Big Vis, rest in peace, at ringside, right?
With his little Matrix shades on. Yeah. He looked like a fat ass.
Midian tries to hold Godfather for Vis, but it backfires. The whole train leads to a schoolboy roll-up, basically. And it's 7 minutes we're not getting back.
Yeah. So,
basically.
What about Viscera's Matrix Lawrence Fishburne eyeglasses that he was wearing?
Oh, yeah.
Look badass.
I got to tell you, it did look badass, but how? Here's my question, though. How do you find glasses to fit his face?
I don't know, dude.
He was fucking massive.
You know how old he was at this time?
I don't know.
27 years old.
I'm not surprised.
Was he really 27?
He's the same age as The Rock. Yep.
Yes, JT. The Clippers have been better.
Wow.
But you still have to share a building. It's like,
fuck the Clippers.
Like the Jets and the Giants sharing a building.
Fuck the Lakers. Fuck the Clippers. Who cares?
I hate the fact that teams have to share a building. There's so much.
The Jets and the Giants and fucking.
Yeah, I think the Chargers do it now.
With LA?
Yeah.
When are the Raiders going to go to Vegas, by the way?
Next year.
Is it next year, finally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
It sucks, but, you know, whatever.
So, all right, so they recap Triple H getting bit by the rattlesnake.
That was dope.
That was pretty cool.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
That Austin planned it for him. He shows up with a goofy makeup on his cheek and claims his career
fucked
was ruined.
Fucked his ass
yeah,
up.
And this is weird. So now it paints the picture, and we'll talk about it when it happens, you know, because I'm assuming we're going to go in order. We're not going to go in Jay and Choppy order where we're just going to, you know, finger fuck any kind of order of matches
No, we're actually going to go in order today. You want to know why?
I wasn't going to bring up that you fucking. It's funny because we got back from I get Allie from the and her family and I got her from the airport. We brought Allie back and she was getting like she threw a pit bag down and went to go change or whatever go to bed, and I got it and I got into bed and I got the gimmick on the Echo, the Amazon Echo, and I play, you know, tell him to play Rant DM, and I'm like, wait a minute, the match didn't go that. No, I don't remember it that way. And I'm like, all right. And I'm talking to the fucking Echo, right? And she's like, "What'd you say, babe?" And I'm like, "I'm just talking to Jay and Choppy, asking them why they fucking move the order around." She's like, "What'd they do?" I'm like, "Nothing. Just shut up."
But so like they do this thing and it paints China as a heel, correct? Like I'm assuming
she's still a heel.
She's still a heel. Okay. All right. So then anyway, but it was a really good vignette and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Before we get into this next match, can I make an observation?
Please.
I never realized how fat Ivory's ass was.
Oh, yeah.
Forget her ass. What about her cans, dude?
She didn't have big cans.
Dude, have you seen her recently?
She probably got them done.
She looks the same. She looks the exact same.
Yeah, Tina Marie. She doesn't have big boobs. She's cute. She was adorable, actually. But she had, like, a little bit of cellulite on her. I mean, it was nice shitlock. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of the shitlock. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's all that squingeal and all that pasta.
But, bro, I kept rewinding. I'm like, yo, look at this fucking coolie. What a coolie on her. What a shitlock.
By the way, fantastic body on her. But this match.
This match was awful.
Fucking awful.
This match. Yeah, Ivory did have a sweet-ass JT. Yes.
On a scale of chicken shit to dog diarrhea.
Oh, we still rating him on diarrhea and on feces?
Absolutely.
We should make a choppy feces meter.
No, you should do a choppy facial reaction meter.
You know what's fucked up? We got a pain scale picture in the ambulance, like with the smiley faces from 1 to 10. You know, dolor, or Spanish dolor, or Russian bleed, the bleed, with the fucking faces. We should have fucking choppy's face on there.
Yeah, my first reaction to the first match.
Feces rules. Ring that bell. Of course he's a. Of course JT would say that. Let me. This match is not good.
But I tell you, why was Mae Young taking bumps like a champ out there?
Leave it to Jay to point out the only good thing about this fucking match.
Fucking Mae Young.
Why do you have to be so optimistic, Jay?
Because
he's
Mae Young.
Guy, that's why.
Yo, did you see that bump off the apron?
Yeah. Well, that was. What's her face though? Took the bump off the apron.
No, Mae Young. She was like, Ivory threw an elbow at her, and then Mae Young like took a shitty bump. She must have got back up and said, "Hit me again, bitch."
So if Mae
fucking took another bump.
If Moolah was 70, Mae Young had to be what, 97?
I think she was.
103 maybe?
Yeah, she's around there. Damn. I think she was like 2 or 3 years older.
Jesus Christ.
It was awful.
It was an awful match though.
Oh, now I smell that weed down here.
Do you?
Oof. Holy balls. The fuck did you guys... Where did you guys go? In your backyard?
No.
No. No, you know... I know where you got it, Choppy.
Who where did I get it?
I know where you got it. Hold on. I know where you got it.
I got it from a Negro.
Wrong!
No, you didn't get it from... No?
I got it from a Latino.
I got it from a Negro. A spear checker.
Oh. Okay, terrific.
Anyway, yeah. Either that or you're fucking... Or you're shooting skunks in your backyard. Anyway. Yeah, this fucking match was terrible.
Yeah, it was kind of awful.
Terrible. I can't believe they gave Moolah the strap.
Well, they should give her the strap on instead of the strap. It was awful, dude. This match is awful.
They gave me... Now...
How many minutes was that, by the way?
That was 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
2 minutes I'll never get back.
Yeah. No, you're not getting it back. Almost 3 minutes you're not getting back. How about that? How you like those fucking apples? So, let me ask you a question. I forget now. How did she lose the title? Do you remember? I don't remember. Jay, you remember?
I think she had to give it up. She went into the hospital not too long after this. I think it was like a stomach issue. She had a... I think she forfeited it. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but... I didn't get a chance to watch the Raw afterwards like I wanted to, but yeah, I think she forfeited the title.
You remember it all? No, I don't remember.
I think she forfeited the title, and then the cat gets the title.
Oof.
Miss Kitty.
Ugh. She kept it on Moolah.
Well, and the only reason she got the belt is because she showed her titties on live pay-per-view.
Phil loves the strap on. Hey, that's my business, buddy. What I do at your Super Bowl parties is my business, okay? Don't be putting my shit out there. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So on a scale of chicken shit to chicken salad, I'm going to give this chicken diarrhea.
Yeah. Pigeon shit.
There's a whole coop full of shit.
It's a whole pigeon coop.
Oh, this match was horrible.
Mike Tyson's pigeon coop of shit.
Thank God it was only 3 minutes. This match was horrible.
That match was terrible. Terrible. You ever drink strawberry quick or hard at the bottom of candy? It's ludicrous how they do that. It's ludicrous. All right, so then we recap Mr. McMahon making the title match for tonight. No DQ and no countouts.
Mm-hmm.
Your next match. Oh, you didn't know? You better call somebody. The New Age Outlaws fighting the Hollies.
Good match.
Now, what happened was the Outlaws are still babyface. The Hollies cost them the titles on SmackDown. So this was like a revenge type of thing.
It was a good match.
And they were running the angle that the Hollies were super heavyweights.
I love that.
With the scales,
that.
The scales are great.
Oh, well,
Rest in peace, Crash.
They're measuring Viscera like, oh, step on the scale. We got to make sure you meet the requirements. Fucking genius.
And Jerry Lawler's like, I have it on good authority. They weigh combined 800 pounds.
Yeah. Now, their gimmick was, you know, it would be Bob Holly weighing it at allegedly 400.
Allegedly.
So, this match was good.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it.
I think the Hollies were fantastic together. I think Crash doesn't get enough credit for this tag team because he was so funny.
The
hot tag comes into Billy Gunn. Mr. Ass cleans house with a couple press slams, hits the jackhammer. The ref is distracted by Road Dogg, though Hardcore Holly tosses in a chair into Crash, but Billy Gunn delivers the famouser and drives Crash's face into the chair. And then the ref sees him and gets disqualified. So
One of the best lines from Lola was, "How is he picking up Crash? He's at least 400 pounds."
Exactly.
Fucking Lola's on his game there.
Nice, a nice little fun fact. Believe it or not, Mr. Bob Holly has the same birthday as me.
Whoa. Hey now.
Hardcore choppy.
Hardcore choppy.
Hardcore gypsy.
Hardcore country.
Hardcore country. All right. So then they recap the unsung Jeff Jarrett China feud.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Jarrett leaves for Nitro right after this match.
Yeah, he pulls Lex Luger. This was, I told you last month, this is around the time that me and Tank were watching, we were heavy rotation pay-per-views at his dad's house. Particularly, he took interest in this match, I think because of they called it the Good Housekeeping match. And they just put like a fucking all the household appliances in there. Like there was a fucking vacuum cleaner and
yeah,
it was. So you know we know that you know they were putting China over as something different at that point. You
correct.
Know because she wasn't just a regular woman. You know, so yeah, the hardcore mook. That's awesome. Nice.
Nice night.
You guys want to get into this? I mean,
it was a decent match.
It wasn't a decent match.
It wasn't terrible. I mean, I just felt like there was too much of that flower in the ring. It made China look like a fucking cokehead, which in actuality later in life she
Fucking does a bunch of bumps off that X-Pac's ass.
So. I like the vacuum cleaner spot.
That's my favorite spot.
Yeah, that's really good. So the fact that she won the title, I was actually very happy she won the title.
So was Tank.
And you want to know why I was happy? Because I knew later that next month, Jericho was fighting her.
Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh.
And that started Jericho. You see, you know what's funny about all that shit? Is like, I don't remember everything, but you remember the important shit.
Like,
I remember Jericho, you know?
Listen, the Attitude Era was not about matches, it was about moments.
Yeah.
You know what? That is absolutely, that's it's 100%.
Always about moments.
Yeah, that is 100%.
The Rock and Sock connection, It's Your Life moment, that was a 20-minute segment, highest rated segment on Raw ever. Jericho returning, debuting before SummerSlam over The Rock, that was a great moment. I don't remember matches, but I remember moments. And that's what's most important about wrestling, about the moments. About those key moments that make you remind you that you're a fan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love it.
All right, before we get into this next match, I just want to piggyback what Tony C was telling me on the other night. He goes, "The only thing I remember about this card was the British Bulldog wrestling in jeans
and boots, by the way."
And believe it or not, Tony C is Tony C. Besides Choppy, I'll give it to Choppy too. He is our Attitude Era aficionado. Unofficially on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, where Choppy will remind me of shit, and I'm like, okay, but you give Tony C a date, and he'll tell you the whole fucking card, especially WCW. Mm-hmm. So when I mention, he goes, "What are you guys doing on Friday?" I'm like, "No Mercy 99. He goes, "Oh, British Bulldog and jeans, huh?" And I'm like, "Holy shit!"
That's such a random thing to remember.
But you want to know why that he changed his attire?
He was hurt. He was hurt though, right?
No. It's because he because I believe the pay per view. What was the 6-pack challenge again? Was that like the pay per view before?
Rebellion? Yeah, it was Rebellion? That was
Unforgiven.
Unforgiven.
Okay.
So, from what I read on later on, after he passed away, you know, God rest his soul. Apparently, Vince didn't like the fact that he was wearing his old traditional like
pants,
Union Jack attire.
Why? Do we know?
Basically, he wanted him to fit in with the Attitude Era guys. So he figured, you know what, wear some jeans, some boots, and you look more edgier that way.
Okay.
That's the reason why he started wearing
jeans. So that was a Vince move then?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. Now that he says that, though, you know,
it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So the spot for me, though, was before this happened when The Rock... Rock bottoms him into poop.
Yes, yeah. I remember that segment. Yeah.
He called the shit poop.
On top of that, the Bulldog was so into it, though. Like, the faces he made.
Yeah.
Like, you know, again, not a big fan of the Bulldog solo, but I didn't dislike him. He looked out of place.
I was a fan of the Bulldog. I just wasn't a fan of him being in the Attitude Era.
Yeah. Like, and watching him now 20 years. Like, I haven't seen this in 20 years since me and Tank watched it. Tank and I watched it. But seeing this now, it's like, ooh. he doesn't even look right now.
No.
He doesn't fit in. And again, nothing against him or anything. It's he just if visually, right? Does that make sense?
But that's yeah. But then this, and this is where, but then a couple months later on, you know what they did, right? They put him with the Mean Street Posse.
That's right. Pete Gass, Joey Abs.
But he was part of two great moments with The Rock, where The Rock's a special guest referee.
One, two, it doesn't matter! Yeah. I was like, whoa, I forgot about that.
That and the People's Elbow when he slides on his socks.
Yeah.
It's two iconic moments of The Rock.
And The Rock was tag champions this time.
With Foley.
Who just wrote his book.
Yeah.
By this time, he already had his book out. He was number one bestseller.
Did you guys read that book?
I did.
One of the first books I ever read.
That was my first book that I ever read page to page. Yeah. Same with me.
Such a good book.
It was good, dude. Oh. I couldn't believe how much crap he revealed in that book. Oh, my God.
It was like the first time I was ever like behind the scenes, at least for me.
It was like reading a shoot interview for the first time, and I loved it. It was so good. He talked so much shit about Flair in that book.
We can actually do an entire episode on that book.
I still have it at home.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
We might have to break that out.
I lost mine, but I'll read it
maybe
again.
Maybe we should.
I'll buy that book again. Oof.
Well, maybe we'll just take Jay's and we'll fucking take excerpt from almost it.
I have to check my closet, but I'm 99% positive I still have that book.
You know which book I still have in somewhere?
I got the Flair book.
That's the book I still have.
I got that Flair book. You know what else is good? The Eric Bischoff book.
Yes.
Oh, Controversy Grace.
I looked at the Chris. Chris loved that book.
Is that really that good?
Oh, man. It's such a good book. That book was good. Flair's book was good.
Roddy Piper's book was good, too.
I don't have Roddy Piper's
book. You know whose book is really good? Jericho's first book was good.
I have Jericho's book. Last book.
Did you really?
He autographed it for me and Hammer.
That's awesome.
You know whose book was surprisingly good? Missy Hyatt's.
Never read it.
We tried getting her on the show, Choppy and I. She'll tweet about watching wrestling, but she won't come on podcasts.
Yeah.
Unless it's Cole Cabana.
Well, there you go.
Well, she looks like a melted can anyway, so she's perfect for fucking radio.
She's got a face for radio, Chop?
Absolutely. She's perfect for radio.
How can you find her between all the porn?
Oh.
Listen, JT, I multitask, buddy. I'm an EMT. I multitask, all right? Cha-cha. Anyway, Rock versus the Bulldog. How we feel?
It was okay.
It was. I mean, it's your quintessential Rock match per se. You know, you had to know, you know, what was going to happen. But like, it was nothing spectacular. You know, I wanted to make another custom People's Elbow. Like you did one already, so keep it happening.
Well, you know what it is about The Rock though. At this point, he's still not the performer that he was later on in life.
He's coming into his own.
Yes.
He's still very young.
Yes, so. JT. Gary Michael Capetta wrote a book, actually.
Did he really?
Yes.
I want to read that.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, that must be good. You know who else has a good book? Hardcore Holly.
I want to get Gary Hart's book.
Gary Hart had a book?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to read that.
Yeah.
The greatest manager of all time.
Mm.
To me, he's number two.
Well,
number
Bobby Heenan is number one.
Number one is Bobby Heenan. He's number two.
We'll do that episode,
and number three
too.
Is Paul Heyman.
But, yeah.
I didn't say Albano, but.
Nah.
Albano man is more champions.
I was not an Albano guy.
I loved Albano.
I liked him. I was only an Albano guy when he did the Super Mario Brothers TV cartoon show.
Hey, it's Mario.
It's Mario.
The Fagul. All right. Yeah, no. You talk about DDTs. How about The Rock's DDT?
The Rock had always had an amazing
DDT. And how about the Bulldog eating it, though?
Yeah.
What I liked about The Rock's DDT is did that float over the guy's back, and then he grabbed his head and just nailed him, drilled him right to the mat.
Yeah, man.
Great DDT.
Yeah, man.
So I still think Jake the Snake had the best DDT ever.
Hands down, of course.
And then number two for me would probably be Raven.
Raven
had a great, but then The Rock is like
The Rock?
Number three, dude.
Yep.
You know who had a great DDT? Arn Anderson.
I was just going to say Arn Anderson number two.
Do you know who had a great DDT also, and it's his birthday today? Bobby. From the Midnight Express.
Really?
Oh, Bobby Fulton?
Bobby?
Because Bobby would slap you on
Bobby
the way
Eaton?
Down. Bobby Eaton would slap
you. Oh, Bobby Eaton.
Yeah. Oh, no. Was it Bobby Eaton or Bobby Fulton? One
no, Bobby Eaton's from the Midnight
Express. Yeah, Bobby
Eaton's Midnight Express. Fantastic is Bobby Fulton.
Sorry, I said Fulton.
Yeah, Bobby Eaton. I think it's his birthday today. Is it Bobby Eaton or Bobby Fulton? One of them.
Beautiful, beautiful Blobby was amazing.
It doesn't matter. But Prince Ikea has a book, too. Hey, what's up, Groomsy?
Groomsy, what's up, buddy?
Jay, do me a favor, Jay. Can you, Grooms, can you plug your, Jay Dawes is doing some college sports on radio.
Dude, I didn't know that. Plug your shit, dude.
I just saw like a link. He's been doing some radio, man. So I want Jay to plug that. You guys doing his thing out there.
Yeah, Jay, please put it on the chat room. Let everyone know what you're doing, bro.
Yeah.
Please.
We want to plug all our friends. Bobby Eaton had a great DJ.
Really?
Yes.
I got to check it out,
dude. He would fucking slap you on the way down.
Yeah, but that's what also Raven used to do sometimes.
Yeah, Raven was just quick.
Oh.
Like,
yeah.
What was cool about Raven was he'd grab you out of nowhere. Like, with Jake the Snake, it was like you saw it coming. You know what I'm saying? With The Rock, you saw it coming. But with Raven, you never saw it coming.
Let me ask you. I know you're not a big Raven guy.
Well, Raven, personally, he blew me off. Okay. I love his stuff in the ring.
I think, to me, you're going to call me crazy, his best match, I think I told you this, Halloween Havoc 1999 television title match.
We're doing that next month.
Him and Jericho.
Yeah, we're doing that match. We're doing it this month. We're doing it this month. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah.
That match.
And we're doing Halloween Havoc 89.
Oh, yeah. That's more.
To me, that match from Halloween Havoc 99 was the best match of the whole card. Oh, my God.
This is not the first time you've said this to me. Because you said it to me last year.
No, 98, sorry. Because 99, Jericho was already in WWE.
Oh, okay, I thought. Because I remember you telling me about this match. I think we did that match last year.
It's so good.
Yeah, I think we did it last year.
The only problem I had with that match was that Jericho kicked out of the DDT.
Well, either way, I mean, there's some really good DDTs. You said you like Ambrose's DDT is a good DDT.
I like his double arm DDT.
Yeah.
You know what a shitty DDT?
A lot of guys did.
Mick Foley, dude.
Yeah, because he's shitty.
You're buggy. He had a great pile driver.
He did have a great pile driver.
He's got the fucking, he had the Tully Blanchard pile driver.
He can fucking pull you by your trunks and drive your head in.
That's some shit.
You know what? You're going to agree with me on this one. Cradle pile driver, Jerry Lynn.
Oh, yeah, hands down.
But Mike Bennett had a great fucking cradle pile driver.
I don't like Mike Bennett.
You're bugging, dude.
I'm not a fan,
but his fucking pile driver was amazing.
You know, you're probably going to disagree, but Lex Luger.
No, I disagree.
Attitude adjustment.
He won the world title with that move.
With the attitude adjustment, yeah.
Get Barry Windham.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
What a great problem.
I actually like Luger.
I love talking about finishing moves, man. That's
we'll do that.
Oh, we'll do that. Anyways, let's continue. I'm sorry.
But yeah.
Oh, so this is a good match, though.
But like you said, it didn't last too long, thankfully, it's the Bulldog. This was a little out of place.
Sorry, this is match of the night. Hands down.
So we recap.
Yeah, it was a match of the night.
No Mercy 90. Oh, with the ladder match?
Oh, the ladder match, yes.
They recap the King having Terry Reynolds climb with the ladder in the short skirt.
Yeah, of course they did.
How about that? Oh, also Mick Foley gets jumped in a bathroom by Val Venus.
Oh, yeah. That's because they're transitioning Val into a heel now. I don't get that.
Yeah, so Choppy was, this was the, Terry Reynolds Invitational Tournament.
This match was the match that made me a fan of both the Hardy Boys and Edge of Christian.
Without a doubt.
This was their first ladder match ever.
Between the first tag team ladder match ever in
the WWE.
Paul Orndorff had the best pile driver, Shaylin.
Yes. Not just a sick pile driver. He used to twist his body.
Paul Orndorff had the best pile driver.
And especially when he used to drill Hogan with that pile driver. Oh my.
He drilled anybody.
Oof. Especially when he broke his neck when he did that pile driver.
Ugh.
Fucking Mr. Wonderful's the best.
He was so good. Anyways.
Anyway.
This match was phenomenal. The seesaw spot. With Jeff Hardy and Matt and Christian. Oh, my God.
This did win match of the year.
It did, dude. Yeah. It was great. Yeah. They killed it.
Yeah.
They killed
it. Well, it was funny. I remember hearing Edge talk about, like, they were just like, hey, give us 15 minutes. We'll show you what we got. And he said this was the match that really opened the door to tag team wrestling in, 99 and then 2000s.
Some people call this the best 16 minutes in wrestling. Of that era.
Oh, yeah.
Because
the Attitude Era was not about matches. It was about fucking moments.
Yeah. And again, I haven't seen this one in 20 years.
Yeah.
What was it feel
no,
like?
No, I was like, wow. Oh, right. Yeah. I was doing housework. I'm like, holy shit. Yeah.
You know what? Besides the match, you know what else pops out about me in this match? It's the two fans. I have like the pink jacket and the couple. They're always together in some of these Gundam Arena matches. But yeah, man, to see the Hardy Boys win this, it was insane.
They were both young. Both teams were young, and like, you know, they just. You could just see that he's just like, listen, we have an idea. Let's just let us do this really quick. And you could see it just come out to fruition.
And apparently Foley, after the match was over, Foley approached both teams. He's like, you just guys went from WWF wrestlers to WWF superstars.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big compliment by Foley right there.
Yeah. But, man, what a match. What a match.
Great match.
No, it was a good match. He said it went 16 minutes. And hold on, let me get back to this one. I'm just pulling something up on YouTube.
No problem.
It was 16 minutes and 28 seconds.
Did Meltzer give it a review?
Yeah, they gave it 4.25 stars.
That's, wow, that's really good.
So, at one point, the two ladders are set up, and all four men go up. Christian and Jeff tip over and slingshot themselves off the top rope. Edge and Matt tilt the other way and fall off. They set up the ladders again. Edge pie faces Matt off the ladder. Matt bounces off the ropes and knocks over Christian and Jeff's ladder. As the ladder falls, Jeff steps onto Edge's ladder and knocks him off and grabs a $100,000 prize. This was a great match. Mm-hmm. And then the Hardys celebrate with Terry Runnels. So.
Do you guys remember how the Hardys broke up with Terry?
I do not, actually.
Another moment I forgot, but please remind us.
So a couple months later on, Terry turns on them, saying that, oh, I got protection. Because the Dudley boys were trying to, like, drill her through a table, and the Hardy boys weren't really protecting her properly. So she said she got APA to protect her.
Oh, shit.
And then when the Hardy boys were fighting Dudley, she screws the Hardy boys, and then the APA intervened. They were about to grab her, and APA beat the shit out of the Hardy boys because she paid them to take care of them.
Gotcha.
That was a great moment.
Gotcha. All right, so we mentioned that Val Venus jumped Mick Foley in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. The bathroom spot with the book. Hey, he thought it was The Rock. Here, read my book. The Rock returns to the ring.
Yeah.
And to challenge whoever emerges as the winner of the title match, right? Triple H comes out and jumps him and then beats him with a sledgehammer.
Correct.
And puts him out, and that sets up Rock and Triple H.
Hmm.
Which, to me, is probably one of my favorite matches, my favorite feuds of that era.
I think the best feud of the Attitude Era was Rock and Triple H, because they feuded for the Intercontinental title when they were mid-carders, and then they were feuding for the WWF title when they were main eventers.
I don't want to besmudge the great name of Steve Austin, because he had some great moments, too, but for me, I thought the best character...
Development
besides The Rock
was Triple H,
hands
down.
I mean, Mick Foley basically
he did three characters,
right? But he did it on his own. Like, I think Triple H needed these guys to help him be the guy he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needed Rock, he needed Foley, he needed Austin, he needed Taker.
And it's not a knock on Triple H, because Triple H was always a fantastic performer in the ring. The thing is that he was not a Rock, or he was not an Austin.
He didn't have that charisma that it, you know, not he that he didn't have he, it. He had charisma, but he's not going to be the funny guy.
He's not exactly.
Yeah, they didn't let him be funny until DX.
He didn't transcend into other forms of
media. He needs a good baby face to be the foil against and everything.
And he was a great heel. He was always
unbelievable.
A great, oh my God.
Triple H is my favorite at that
time. You want to talk about heat? He used to get legitimate, and his legitimate heat, and this is all because he turned on DX.
Yeah,
from the moment
that's exactly it.
The moment he turned on DX at WrestleMania 99, he was a heel, and then they solidified his heel turn by having him join the corporation, the corporate ministry, and then him and China just tearing up everybody, no matter what.
I agree.
So Mankind versus Val Venus after this,
whatever.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Mick Foley guy, but
oof. This match was oof. Hoofa!
Well, Mankind, he does the Kobashi driver, though.
Yeah.
I love that move. And then he puts on Mr. Sacco, and then Val puts...
Was it Mr. Sacco or Mr. Rocco?
Mr. Rocco.
Rocco was dope.
It wanted to be a battle of the mandible claw.
You smell what the Rock is cooking?
Yeah, the mandible claw versus the testicular claw.
Yeah.
He picks up and he wins the match. Like, it's weird.
Oh, dude.
You know? How about the next match?
The four-way?
Yeah, X-Pac and Kane versus Farouk and Bradshaw.
I like the ending of the match.
All right, yeah.
The ending match was fantastic.
I like the ending of the match.
You want to know why? Because it's Farouk and X-Pac at the very end.
What do you got, Jay?
I mean, the same thing. You know, it was, it was a little bit longer than I thought it was going to be, especially.
It was good, though.
I didn't mean
it
to cut you off, Chop. I saw Jay grab his phone and thought
that's
he had
fine.
Oh, no,
that's fine. I just like the fact that the ending... You know, it's Farouk and X-Pac, the last two guys. All of a sudden, Farouk goes up to the top rope, goes for the shoulder block, and he gets drilled with the X-Factor. It was so dope! I love X-Pac as a babyface. He should X-Pac should have been a much bigger deal in this company.
Do you think his size is what was against him?
Nah, because he was in some high-profile matches.
He wasn't the best talker, but he was a perfect underdog.
Yes.
He could have been like...
a Daniel Bryan.
He could have been like their Daniel Bryan. He had the fans behind him, dude. Yeah. And then when they turned him heel, the fans fucking hated him, dude.
Even when he had no eyebrows, they loved him.
Yeah. Remember that shit when he was a 1-2-3 kid, he had no eyebrows? I wonder what kind of rib was that. What
kind of shit is that?
Probably you should stop shitting in people's sandwiches. Otherwise, you won't get your eyebrows.
Shit in gym bags, too. Right? Didn't you shit in somebody's gym bag?
Yeah.
That's fucked up. I would have fucked him up, actually.
Yeah.
He was planning on pissing on the Smoking Guns hats.
Oh, here we go. All right, Jay, host the Northern Iowa Panthers radio call-in show. Should go on between 9. Okay. So check it out, man. Time is fluid as the game.
All right, so this is from Jason Grooms. I host the Northern Iowa Panthers radio call-in show after their football games. Tomorrow I should go on the air at 9 Eastern Standard Time, 8 Pacific p.m. And just go to www.kxel.com. That's www.kxel.com. The time is fluid as the game could go longer or shorter.
Yeah,
cheap plug.
Yeah, definitely put that on the page when you do that.
Please do.
Remind us. So, I mean, I actually should be home tomorrow night, so maybe I'll listen. Just super. Because I'm not a Northern Iowa Panthers fan, but I'm a Grooms guy, so you know, I'm a Jason Grooms guy. I should get a shirt. I'm a Jason Grooms guy.
You should.
I'm a Beef guy. His name is Beef. But thank you, Beef. All right. Here we go. The World Heavyweight Championship. No holds barred. No DQ, no count out, nothing. Triple H versus Steve Austin. Who's starting this one?
Gotcha.
Jay, you go.
Oh, you want me? Okay, yeah. Like I said, Austin, 99. So now, it was a weird thing because we know, looking back on it, that for whatever reason, Austin didn't want to lose the title to Triple H at SummerSlam, 2 months before that. So he lost it to Foley. But, so, you know, that whole thing. But, like, the leading up to it, like, I didn't watch the Raw before it as well. And I was like, well, you know, what's going to happen? And that whole thing, as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, it's coming back to me now. Like, now I figured it out. But getting it together, like, Austin, he didn't have that many moves. Like, he was so over. Well, all he had to do was kick, punch, and Luthes press.
Keep in mind, the man had a broken neck at this point.
Yeah.
So he had to go for surgery. He was wrestling with a broken neck for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And... And you're right. He didn't have a lot of moves at this point because of his injury.
Yeah, he downplayed his style, and but it was still over. Like, it was just everything he did had pop.
Anything he did, he got a reaction.
You know what's weird about Austin, and I'll say this to Jay, because Chop and I have already talked about this, but I can tell we haven't said this to Jay, but Steve Austin basically got to where he was because of the opposite style he wrestled.
Yeah.
He was a phenomenal chain wrestler.
Yes, yes.
Like, he fought, like, classics with guys like Pillman and Steamboat.
Yeah.
And
Flair and
Arn Anderson. Oof. Right. So, like, this was weird. If you followed him like that, you know? And you don't really realize this shit until years later. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, he does the kicking and the stomping and the clothesline because that's the character he evolved into. But don't get it twisted.
He was good.
He'll switch you up, bro. He'll
and he used to
takedowns and work on body parts and stuff.
He used to slap the mat, like, when he would attack the mat on every bump. Like, it was actually especially in WCW, but it's just a reminder. Like, as soon as, like you said, we seen it, Phil, a few weeks ago. That glass cracks, man.
Yes.
Instant.
No, there's no denying he might be the most popular character they've ever had.
I was going to ask you, you guys, who's more popular, Austin or The Rock?
Austin,
hands down.
Rock was like this close
to surpassing him.
Yeah, but
I tell you though, because the good thing The Rock was there at that right time, because Austin goes out for surgery, The Rock just propels into Austin's stratosphere.
And the wrestlers talk about that a lot when guys get injured and they get the spot. Like, well, if it wasn't for this guy, if it wasn't for that guy, yeah, Ronnie Garvin. If it wasn't for Magnum smacking his car up, you wouldn't be fucking world champion. You inconsiderate fucking Canuck, you know. Happy birthday, Donnie, by the way. But I digress. Perfect point, Jay. Perfect point.
Yeah.
If Austin doesn't go out, The Rock would have been a superstar. But that needed to happen for him.
Yeah.
Him getting hurt, Triple H having a title, that and Mick Foley being the way he was, and Taker being the way he was, all that had to happen for this stuff to beat Nitro eventually. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I think that at this point they would beat Nitro. Well,
I mean, the progression.
But, exactly.
Up to that point.
But you can insert a name. You can insert The Rock. You can insert Triple H. Insert, Mick Foley, Austin, whatever. And that's what everybody talks about attitude, the attitude era with such high regard because they everything was over. Like at that point, everything, no matter what you could do.
Even Mae Young pooping out of hand was over. I don't get it.
It was weird, man. Like there was stuff that was going on, like that Vince Russo shit. Crazy.
Yeah.
Just crazy when you think about it now, Because you don't really think about it back then because you were a kid. You're like,
What about Triple H raping a fucking dead body?
The Katie Vick thing?
Oh.
That hands down was the worst angle
in wrestling. That's the worst thing that's ever
been done. May 19th? May 19th.
Oh.
Fucking ridiculous. God, anyway.
Vince was an idiot.
But what I tell you, but all in all, like, this was, obviously nothing's going to beat the ladder match, but this was a close second for me. It was such a good match to me, at least in my opinion. Austin just doing what he does, just telling the story. Little shenanigans at the end, but it's kind of, you got to keep the belt on Triple H.
The Rock had that miscue.
Yeah.
And kind of cost Austin the match. Rock gets hit with the pedigree.
So Rock comes down for redemption. He comes, what is it, with the
sledgehammer.
He returns with the sledgehammer looking for a little revenge. He accidentally takes out Austin. Pedigree takes out The Rock. Hunter covers Austin for the win at 21:54.
I thought it was a good match.
I thought it was a good match, and it didn't feel like it was. It's funny that you say that. I didn't even think it was 20 minutes
because of the transition.
Yeah,
of the brawling in the in ring, and then the run in by The Rock.
Yeah,
if you're gonna tell a story, that's how you do it.
Yeah,
this just told a really good story.
As an all around worker, like babyface, heel. I'm not counting backstage stuff or whatever, but is Triple H like a top five?
He's my Ric Flair of the 90s.
I was just going to say, he's like the Ric Flair, because this guy could do
anything.
Even
though Ric Flair was still Ric Flair from like 90 to 94.
Yeah.
95-ish. Triple H was the man of the 90s.
Yeah, he was.
For
he
me,
was,
anyway.
He was just, he was, everywhere he needed to be, he was right there.
I've had this conversation with him a million times. When you think about it, think about all the stuff Triple H had to do to get where he was.
Yeah.
And all the abuse they made him go through with the whole click thing the slop matches with the fucking, with the Godwins and...
Yeah.
Like and then they pair him with China, then they form DX, and then he breaks off from DX and becomes the Game, the Cerebral Assassin. Yeah. But he still gets to maintain some of that humor and that intensity.
Yeah,
his promos, the one where he slaps Jim Ross in the face with the face to face interview. Like, you can't get that kind of shit like that anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that kind of fun, He was good, Chop.
I remember when, to me, this is probably the moment that gave him so much heat, besides the DX moment, where he turned on DX, the one moment where it was right, is the night after SummerSlam 99, he is pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
He grabs JR, and he's like, Foley, you're going to give me a shot right now. If you don't give me a shot, I'm going to break his goddamn arm.
Mm-hmm.
Surely, Foley gives him the shot, and he still breaks Jim Ross's arm, regardless. That was genius.
Yeah.
That's how a heel is made. And then, the stuff with him and Earl Hebner in the 2000s, where he used to make Hebner's life a living hell.
Yeah. Oh. Jay, he lost to the Warrior at SummerSlam, too.
Yes, he did. WrestleMania 12.
Yeah.
I remember that.
He did do the squash, man. Listen, that's another thing, too, man. Triple H saw things. Not that he had any
dirt or whatever.
No,
or...
not that he had any character say a lot. I mean, they have some say, but this all gets written in. But he saw that, flair saw it.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain guys that just see the future of it. Like, oh, okay, you're going to build me? Yeah, I'll squash to this guy. I'll squash to that guy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, in territory days, man, when you were going to St. Louis, you weren't going to beat Holly Race in St. Louis, in Missouri, you know? No. When you went to North Carolina, you're not beating Ric Flair in North Carolina, you know? But you're going to tell me a story.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's the thing. Or I'll take the L in Atlanta.
But I'm going to get it back.
In whatever town you're from, you know? Or whatever town, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I hate to bring up his name, but Tommy Rich, when he won the title, it's like, I think he was from Georgia.
Yeah, he won
it. He wasn't going to lose in Georgia.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Triple H, the better he got, the more clout he got.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why he's not. It's not just because he's with the boss's daughter.
No.
Look at NXT. We can have a whole conversation about the evolution of Triple H, but he had a good sense of his business,
of his business, and of the business, and in and of itself. He was, like I said, like watching it, I was just like, man, this motherfucker was definitely good. Like, he was far better than I remember him being.
And if everyone, if you know, even the marks, they say, oh, you know, he was always putting guys down. Listen, he made Jericho a star. He made Benoit a star.
Yeah.
He made Randy Orton a star. Batista a star.
Batista.
Cena.
Cena.
He brought Flair. He brought Lesnar.
He made Flair a manager and then made Flair even more important than what he really was.
Made Flair a tag champion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Intercontinental champion.
Oof. And then, like, he made Big Show even better than what he was after. Oh, my God. Triple H is by far, like what you said, the Ric Flair of the 90s and, for me, the
2000s.
I 100% agree.
So we're rating this out of 10.
I'm going to give this. It wasn't that bad.
I'm going to give it a 7.
I'm going to give it a 6.5.
I'm hovering around a 7 because that tag match is you can't beat that.
Yeah, the tag match was really solid.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say a solid 7.
I really like when they can transition stories from Raw to from TV to a pay-per-view and do it right. I mean, all the matches meant something, which I thought was cool, you know? They just didn't throw shit together. You know, except for Mae Young and they had a beef.
They had the story
but
going,
like,
but
you see what I'm saying? Like
every character had a story.
Yes, and I think that's what makes the Attitude Era different, because everybody was in a storyline. It wasn't just like a thrown together thing.
And that's it, folks. That's our show this week.
That's our Norm Mercy 1999.
Holy shit. Well, October's going to be fun for us because hopefully we'll get to do the convention. Apparently there's some discretion with that. We'll talk about that off the air. But yeah. We got some Halloween shows coming up. We got some WCW coming up, NWA. And I think we're good. I mean, this is going to be – I love this. This is my favorite month of the year.
Yeah, me too.
It's hockey season starting.
Basketball season.
Basketball season starts. Baseball playoffs. Football's almost half done already. And now you have all these wrestling shows. I'm really excited for Tuesday night. I'll be at work, but 6:05.
Oh yeah,
NWA,
and I saw the set.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even gonna lie; I got a little emotional.
I believe you because it's old school.
I got a little emotional, and I hope and pray that the vision they have is good and the talent they have is suffice, because if you're going to do this to me and tease me with the nostalgia,
do it right.
Come fucking correct. Yeah, yeah. Please come correct. And Billy Corgan, he seems like he loves what he's doing, and he wants to put the NWA back to some respectability. This is how you do it.
Correct.
And to all the newer fans that don't know how important this is, do yourself a favor. Go on the network. Watch a couple of episodes of Georgia, mm-hmm. Mid-Atlantic. Watch any NWA show from 85 to 89. The weekly Saturday shows. You tell me how fun it is to see these promos cut at the podium and then go into the ring and the fan interaction.
Yeah.
The promos were insane. There was you want to talk about moments. There were so many moments made out of the promos at that time that they didn't even know they were making moments out of them, because they didn't have all the pay-per-views and all the shit they had. You know what we're going to do to you at the Omni in Atlanta tomorrow night? You know, Ivan Koloff. That and then like that's how it went, and most of those were house shows. But then when he started doing pay-per-views and Clash of the Champions, it became a thing. I truly hope they do. They come correct. Just as an older fan, just, you know, and you, as you get older, you tend to lean towards all the nostalgia. Hence why I'm still doing a fucking old school wrestling podcast, right? But I mean, you see my point. There's so much wrestling. Please enjoy it. I begged you guys last week to do. I just want you to enjoy wrestling because it's so much fun right now.
And stop worrying about the ratings. Ratings don't mean shit.
Yeah,
it's whatever show is good. That's all that matters.
I want you guys just if you take anything from this, just enjoy it.
Be a fan.
The other night, I shut my phone off. I mean, I shut off. I just put it to the side. I only text Will because Will came down to watch it with me, and I just sat in bed and I was a fan.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I had two shows going at the same time. I was a fan, and I truly fucking enjoyed it. Yeah, you know what, Shaylin, you're right. Let's play that because it's apropos of, you know.
You like this hat?
Sure do.
You better like this hat. That's no lie. Tip their hat to a lady, I'd come closer to tipping it to a Jezebel down on the street.
Oh, God, nothing better than that.
Let's get the fuck out of here. All right? Let's play some music.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about New Japan's music. We don't hear it on TV because...
Yeah,
because
it's blocked.
But
out.
I told Choppy, I want the soundtrack to this evening. Like, every fucking song was good, including this one. All right, let's get some plugs out of the way. Jay, you got a show coming up.
Yeah, playing Flagship Brewery down by Bay Street, Staten Island, next Saturday, October 12th. We go on about 3:30, but it's part of Wavestock. So it's really going to be a good time. They show horror movies right by where the distillery is, and then a band plays while they're setting up the next movie.
Yeah, maybe it's in the afternoon. I'll definitely come watch it. If you should come if you're not working, shop. But what else is going on? Okay, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowback. Let's buy some T-shirts. Daddy needs a new computer for this show.
ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks.
Right, we're on all the Instagram, Facebook, social media gimmicks, Twitter
TBuckleTeabags, and then we have. Myself, Choppy2984, on Twitter, on Instagram, and if you want to Facebook me.
And we're also now we're on Spotify.
We're on Spotify, so look for us on The Rant.
And Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean. There's a bunch of outlets you can get us on. Podcast.
There's no excuses.
Podcast Addict.
No excuses.
Yeah. Of course, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, RantEMRadio.com, Dark Satellite Media, and I have all the links to all friends' shows on the Throwbacks page, so go support that. And I think that's it.
Yeah, man.
Anything else?
That's it.
Nothing, right?
Nothing.
All right, so on behalf of Mr. J and the Chopster, I'm Philly Raya, bidding you adieu, reminding you all to take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap and get arrested. Don't say those nasty words, and just be a good fucking human being.
Okay.
Be nice. Enjoy the good, nice, crisp weather.
Yeah.
Go apple picking.
You like this weather?
You like this apple? You better like this apple. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. Goodnight.